By the way, still hooking you up this morning with The Offspring and Neon Trees. They are not only playing October 5th at the Palladium, we give you tickets to that, but then you're eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Friday to see them again, this time in New York City. It's destination number 7 of the K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012. If you've never had the pleasure of seeing The Offspring, trust us on this.
Yeah.
You're going to love it. They are great. So get all the details and listen for your chance to win right here at the world-famous K-Rock.
Ralph was talking in the Showbiz Beat about Amanda Bynes and how she got in another car accident, and that it was, if I'm not mistaken, 4 accidents in 6 months.
Yeah. Refresh my memory. Amanda Bynes, famous for what show? Dave, you're in here. You would know.
She used to be the Amanda Bynes show.
Yeah, and then What I Like About You with Jenny Garth.
Oh, yeah, What I Like About You. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 car accidents. 3 of them, by the way, she's been accused of. 3 hit and runs. And this 4th accident, the one that's in the news right now, she's in the San Fernando Valley just a couple of nights ago when a car rear-ended her rental. Yes, she was in a rental because one of her previous accidents, that car is still in the shop. So she's driving a rental. She got in an accident for that. Now, what if she took the extra insurance?
Oh, I sure hope so. I sure hope so.
We were talking yesterday with Ralph about how generally if you are rear-ended, it's whose fault? It's your fault, right?
It's the guy who rear-ended.
Whoever rear-ended you.
Whoever rear-ended
you. Oh, it's the other guy's
fault. Yeah, he's supposed to keep enough distance that he can stop, and it's almost, it's about 100% they give it the ticket to the guy who ran into you.
The driver of the other car, according to TMZ, says that Amanda made a reckless maneuver that triggered the collision.
I wouldn't doubt that, like slamming on her brakes to turn quick.
Exactly.
Or
yeah, and that's usually what happens. I mean, that's the cause of a lot of rear end collisions is somebody just slams on their brakes ahead of you, and you don't have any reason to expect that's going to happen. Cops showed up this time. No one was ticketed, by the way. But we got to thinking about, and this is separate from the conversation we always have about, hey, there are some celebrities that just need to get a driver. 4 traffic accidents in 6 months. What's going on here?
That is crazy. That's a crazy number of accidents. And then we started asking each other, how many accidents have you been in?
Mm-hmm.
I think my number is 3 or 4. Lisa's about...
I think three in my lifetime.
Bean is not around people or cars, so probably pretty low.
I think I'm two. One of those, I was a passenger.
And then the King of Mexico spoke up with his number.
Are we including being a passenger as well?
No.
I don't think so. No, I think we're talking about driving.
No, you as the driver.
So for driving, for me...
How much does that up your number? My God.
here's what we're going to ask for. 1-800-520-1067. The most car accidents that you've been in. Now, we have to say that it had to be enough of an accident that you stopped your car and got out. Did you turn it into insurance? That's different.
Yeah.
But did you hit enough that you had to get out of the car? Now, Bean, you said... 2, but 1, you were a passenger. So that's
1, I was a passenger. So that one, I guess we take off based on this criteria. And the other one, by the way, just for background, is it was during a tremendous ice and snowstorm. And I was going across a bridge that was just a sheet of ice. And I just skidded right into the side of the bridge.
Sweet.
And didn't hit another car. It was just my car. But Dave, who's been driving less time than you and I have, Kevin, has been in how many accidents as a driver?
Well, real accidents.
No, not real.
Okay, all of them.
Stop the car.
You mean legitimate accidents?
I would say 7 in a 3-year period.
What? 7 in a 3-year period?
3 years?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had an accident in a long time, but when I was having them, like, you know, it was
fun.
If
Mexicans had insurance, imagine how much your insurance would be.
7 in 3 years.
You know what's funny? Out of those 7 accidents, only 1 has gone to insurance. And not because, you know.
It's
because
you don't have insurance.
No, I've always had insurance.
Do you jump out of your car and yell?
Not my fault.
No, usually I would say 6.
Dave jumps out of his car and says, no hablo inglés, no hablo inglés. It's the only Spanish he knows.
Yeah. Like Felipe Esparza says, I just go, now cool, we're cool. Yeah. No, I mean, like.
How did they not go to insurance?
Well,
they weren't that bad, you know.
Or
and then, like I told you guys, once someone else got hit the second time, and it was just my luck. The guy's like, "I'll charge him." So,
but that was a well-told story.
Yeah.
So Dave got in a minor accident with a guy, and then he was gonna take care of it, but the guy got in another bigger accident just before Dave got back to him, and so the guy went, "I'm just gonna charge that guy for everything." But so 7 in a 3-year period. All right, so we're looking for you if you can beat that. 1-800-520-1067. If you could beat 7 in a 3-year period, or how many you've had in your life is also fascinating if it's a big number.
Yeah. Let me tell you about Jay Lewis, who I got an email from, and I am urging you to pick up your phone immediately and call us, Jay, at 1-800-520-1067. He says he has totaled 8 cars.
Wow.
Wow.
Over 2 years.
Oh, 2 years? God. You can't possibly have insurance.
Is he legally blind?
Total.
That's the only way I can imagine that is if you go out on the road every night and cannot see anything.
Oh, I just remembered another one.
So 8?
Yeah, and 2 of them were not my car. So,
all right.
Yeah, so
how do those
gets
people
better.
Stay on the road? How do you keep a license?
I don't know, because you would think they would take your license immediately.
Yeah.
Dave, out of these 8 accidents, what percentage would you say are your fault?
6.
That's when you used to fall asleep, huh?
It's not my fault.
That was that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, but 6 of them, I would say, were my fault.
And what turned it around for you where now you haven't been in an accident in some time?
I don't know. I just don't get tired anymore. I guess.
He used to fall asleep all the time.
That was a big problem.
Now he sleeps
in traffic.
At work.
Now he sleeps here.
Now I'm here all the time.
No, he doesn't have to.
All right. Let's take a couple of calls here. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Stephanie. Stephanie's on line 2. Let's find out where she's at. Amanda Bynes, 4 accidents in 6 months. It doesn't have to be as short a time as that, but we're looking for the most car accidents, a car accident serious enough that you had to get out of your car to look at the damage and talk to the other driver. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you.
Excellent. Good morning. Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning.
So you've had how many accidents in what amount of time?
I've had 3 accidents in a 2-year period of time, but 2 of them were rollovers, and the other one, I actually rear-ended somebody, and it was found mutual fault.
Mutual fault?
Tell me about the rollovers. That sounds like a pretty serious crash.
Yeah, well, the first one was I was coming home from work, and it was very, very late. I'm a bartender, and it was very, very, very late, actually. And there was another accident on the freeway, and it was about 4:30 in the morning. And I was coming out of a...
Let's fast forward to the part where your car flips.
I was coming out of the curve, and I hit water and fishtailed, and I had bald tires. And before I knew it, the car was going over.
Sweet.
Wow, you had everything going for you. 4:30 in the morning, water on the road, bald tires, tired. You're begging for it.
Sweet.
Yeah, well, kind of. Well, yeah, I guess it's the time period that I was driving home, definitely.
Right. Yeah, you hadn't mentioned it was very late. You also strike me as someone who drinks heavily as a bartender.
No way.
Stephanie.
Stephanie.
Oh, Stephanie.
You're not supposed to do that while you're working.
Well, we know.
Of course not.
Illegitimately,
right.
Like, that's bad.
Right.
If you're a good bartender, you would.
We appreciate that. Thank you. All right, let's try Jonathan, line 1 here. Jonathan, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, what a do, nephew?
What a do.
What a do.
Are you the guy who emailed?
Yes, I am.
All right, tell us more.
Okay, so right after high school, I got into this little series of totaling cars. First started off with an 80.
If you don't mind my saying, give us the total number and the total amount of time.
It was eight totaled cars in 2 years.
8 totaled cars in 2 years.
How did you afford to buy the second one and the third one and the fourth one? Where was all this money coming from to put you back behind the wheel of a new car after you total one?
Honestly, I don't even know. They weren't brand new cars. They were always like, I bought it for like maybe $1,000.
Right.
You were just out of high school, you said, right?
Yeah.
Well, your parents continue to let you drive after the second time you totaled a car? Why didn't they take your license away?
I think they were more like worried about having to drive me.
Really? Than 8?
Than your life.
You total a car for the 6th time and they go, keep driving. We don't want to take you.
I think the 7th or 8th one was actually their car.
So. Well, they had it coming if they didn't stop you. And if they loaned you their car, they're idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. All right. But, well, you sound like a good driver to me.
I feel good.
Did you turn it around like Dave? Did you get to a point where you would having accidents?
Oh yeah, my recent car I've had for like 5 or 6 years. So.
Oh, you're due, don't you think?
Check you out. It's a world record in your house.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know.
All right, Jonathan. Thanks for calling. We got to take a break. 1-800-520-1067. These are fascinating stories, but Lisa, no matter how many times we ask, we can't figure out how they keep getting back behind the wheel of the car.
Yeah. That's what I don't get.
Parents aren't taking them away. The law's not taking them away. Somebody still sells them a car. What's going on?
This is a big problem here.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your call.
Woo!
Hey! 106.7. Hey,
guys, we're on.
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is 24 minutes after 6.
Alan St. Pierre from the National Organization of the Reform of Marijuana Laws joins us coming up in minutes to talk about the latest war on pot in our city. By the way, we have to, in case you're wondering why we get him on so early, because he's too stoned later to talk to him. So talk to us. So we got to do him too early. Right now, that we're talking about Amanda Bynes, four car accidents in 6 months. We're taking calls from Kevin and Bean listeners who can beat it, either with more, you know, more accidents or a shorter amount of time. Man, we've got some crazy drivers listening today. Let's talk to everybody. Hang on. Mark, Daniel, Christine. You all hang on. And as you listen to us talk to Tricia, understand whatever her number is, the next caller is going to be more. So let's see how high this goes.
All right. Hi, Tricia.
Hello. Hey, Kevin. Hey, Dean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello. Ooh,
tell us the sound of that.
Tell us how bad of a driver you are, please.
Okay. 7 accidents, wrecked 6 cars.
7 accidents, wrecked 6 cars.
You mean wrecked? Wait. I just happen to be Asian.
No, you don't happen to be Asian. No, you are Asian.
There's nothing that happens about it. So you say wrecked 6 cars. You mean totaled?
I've totaled 6 cars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tricia, how do you have the confidence to get back behind the wheel?
I don't know. I wear a helmet.
But seriously, aren't you afraid that every day you get in your car could be the day you die?
And you know what? It turns out that I'm a claims adjuster now for an insurance company.
Right.
I talk about accidents all day. So what happens is that, like, I kind of, like, not pay attention, but then other people aren't paying attention. Like, one person just made a left-hand turn in front of me. My car caught on fire. Cholo tried to pull me out. It was a mess. And that one wasn't my fault.
Of course not.
The other ones I just rear-end people by accident.
You rear-end people five times then? 6 times?
5 times. 5
wow!
times. Like, I'm just kind of like not paying attention when I should be.
Tricia, I got to tell you, you're not doing your people any favors.
Let's just say my parents counseled me from their insurance like a long time ago.
Thank you very much for the call. Please don't ever drive again. Let's go to Daniel on line 4. All right, so Tricia was 7. Let's see where Daniel's at. Daniel, thanks for calling the Kevin DeBean Show.
This is a wake-up call. 9.
9!
In how many years?
In 4 years. I lost to the Asian woman.
You didn't lose. You mean you're worse than her, yes. 9 accidents in 4 years.
And are you willing to take any responsibility for it?
Well, for the ones that were my fault, I've been rear-ended a fair amount. But, yeah, there are just some jackassery moments that's no one's fault but my own.
And what's going on? Why do you think you're having so many accidents? Trisha at least admitted to she just doesn't pay attention. Is that your thing, too?
I've been a good driver lately, but when I first got my license, I was a little wild child, and I drove my first car into the ground, and now I got one that I actually paid for, so I'm a lot more careful.
You didn't care about your cars before. Daniel, let me ask you a question, because this is fascinating to me, and we've been trying to find this out. How are you still on the road? Didn't the state take away your license?
No, they were varying degrees of accidents. I only totaled 1 car. That girl totaled what? 4 cars?
She totaled 5, I think.
That's irresponsible.
Yeah, it is. You're right. Yeah, she's irresponsible. Exactly. All right. Thank you for the call. All right. So Daniel was 9. Let's go to Mark. He's on line 3 joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mark, how many?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
How are you? And how many accidents have you been in and what amount of time?
10 accidents in 6 years.
10 in 6 years.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Oh,
what's
my
going
God,
on?
I'm afraid to drive.
10 How accidents. Is possible?
Crazy.
What was the most serious one?
The most serious one was last year in July. That was the first time I totaled my Scion.
You totaled it?
Yeah.
Scion!
only one of these 10 have been totaled, and I guess I'm first place in something.
How many of the 10 have been your fault, would you estimate?
I could answer that. All
same thing almost as the girl.
So all but a couple.
So. Yeah. What do you think your problem is? Are you drinking behind the wheel or what are you doing?
No, I don't like drinking and
driving too fast.
A lot of the times I've been distracting, distractions. Water bottles have been falling under my brake pedals.
most of the time.
His car is just a giant mess.
Wow. She's driving around in a trash can, basically, is what he's doing. Look, if I've already had five accidents, six accidents, nine accidents, I'm not doing nonsense. I'm not rolling around on the floorboards while I'm driving trying to find a water bottle. I understand that I'm in danger.
The water bottle can wait.
Right. Do you still have insurance?
Yes.
You still
have insurance? I'm going to court this morning.
All right, good luck.
Hope
someone's driving you. Good luck.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
For calling.
All right, we got time for one more.
Oh, geez, really?
More than 10. We're at 10 right now. Hi, Christina. Thank you for holding on. What's going on?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Tell us about your driving.
I feel so embarrassed now. I've had 12 in 5 years.
12 in 5 years?
Come on. Come on.
You are a terrible driver. Right? Admit it.
You know, when I first got my driver's license, I thought I was Mario Andretti. And apparently when there's, you know, freeways full of cars, you can't really maneuver in and out of them so well. So.
Well, you can if you're willing to bump people.
Exactly. So you know, just a little nuts.
Speed is your thing. You just drive too fast. Is that a contributing factor? You drive too fast.
It is a huge contributing factor.
Now, let me just ask you a question. When you get to five accidents, you know, six accidents, seven accidents, most people go, wow, that's seven accidents. Eight, nine, ten accidents. You go, oh, most people will go, there's something wrong. 11, 12 in 5 years. Really?
I was young. And
so what? Everybody else that was your age managed to not get in 12 accidents in 5 years. You're the reason Los Angeles traffic sucks ass.
This is true.
Oh.
And the reason everybody else's insurance is so much, too, by the way.
If you
have 12 accidents in 5 years, by the way, you're having more than one accident every 6 months. I mean, it's just a regular thing for you. Do you feel like you beat it now and you're in control?
Oh, absolutely. I've not had an accident
in like
since
a week.
22. Since I was 22, so 6 years.
Six years.
Okay.
An accident 6 years.
You had a hell of a 5 years before that 6 years.
I did.
Wow. All right. I feel a little bit better now.
I only totaled one car. I only ever totaled
Good
one
for you.
Car.
All right. That doesn't make it better.
Look, I don't want to tell you how to do your business, Ralph. You're the movie guy, okay?
Yes, I am.
But isn't it early in the season to have the Oscar bait out there? I mean, why open an Academy Award winner in June? I don't understand.
Because the buzz is so incredible. The critical buzz is so strong on this film, especially for our guest today. We want to try to get it out there to make sure that the Academy has time to vote.
Talking about this weekend's Piranha 3 Double D, ladies and gentlemen, the great David Koechner.
Good morning.
Hi, Keck. How are you?
I'm great. And, you know, you mentioned the Oscar campaign. Nobody knows that better than the Weinsteins.
That's true.
And we've got a Dimension film here, the Weinstein brothers. So they've got the early push. They may do a re-release right around Christmas.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you almost won for Final Destination 5. I remember that.
I've been so close so many times.
You should start writing your speech now, though, seriously, for this.
Thank you.
And I haven't even seen it yet.
Right.
But the buzz, like we said, is so strong.
The buzz is crazy.
You get it?
Yes. Yes.
Look, you've been in some great movies over the years. Plus, you were in Get Smart. Let's not forget that. But I mean, you could
add a lot of pluses. Go ahead.
This has to be. I refuse to accept anything other than this was one of the most fun experiences of your life, being in Piranha 3 Double D, because it looks so awesome.
It was fun. It was interesting.
Look, loved the first one.
We
here,
did.
Man.
Yeah,
we
just,
you know,
so
here's what I love.
Funny.
It is what it is. It makes no pretense other than it is Piranha. Spell it how you want.
Mm-hmm. Good.
3. We all know that symbol.
Right.
Double D.
Right.
We all know what that means.
Right.
Uh-huh. And all of that is
flesh-eating fish.
Yes, and girls in bikinis.
Girls in bikinis and boobies.
Right.
Who's back from the original? We got Ving Rhames.
Ving Rhames is back. Paul Scheer is back.
Great.
And I think that's it from the original.
Christopher's not returning.
It was quite a body count.
Chris
Lloyd.
Chris Lloyd. Yes. Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. But no, Lishu.
There are even more fish coming out from that hole in the bottom.
I just have to comment on the vocal alacrity of
I don't
Ralph Garman.
Vocal
he's,
alacrity.
He's amazing.
Stop it, dude.
No, I know he's a friend of mine, but just let me pander. I love Ralph, and I'm always amazed by his range. Honest to God.
We are, too. We are too. I'm not kidding you.
Believe me, we don't keep him around for his personality. Okay?
True.
They don't like me at all, but they need me.
That was my next question.
David, tell me about, because this movie is so jam-packed, you already mentioned some great actors in the cast, but tell me about working with Gary Busey, first of all.
Oh, the Buse.
Gary and I, he was already gone by the time I got to town.
Oh, because he's crazy.
He was there, but he was gone. Is that what you said?
Well, I got to say, I have nothing but sympathy for Mr. Busey. I think that it must be torture to have to go through
life. No, we
want
to laugh at him. Come on.
I know we do, but we have to be sympathetic and empathetic to people with mental disorders or people who have had head injuries, and it causes them to lose certain filters and have behaviors that might be regrettable if they were at all had the ability to understand what they were doing. But it's only those around us that go, I think the man's probably walking through life and there's a lot of confusion.
That's probably true.
It's you know, I think we need to be more sympathetic, empathetic to persons who are different, and who, I mean, look, that accident clearly has made a change, and I don't know if there was any
Dave,
mood
find
component.
Out what happened to Koechner. Send in the real Koechner.
That's unacceptable.
It's very true.
It's tough. I saw him at the premiere.
Yeah. Did he recognize you?
No.
Remember you?
No.
You? No.
No.
Mm.
No.
I guess that.
I just said we're in the movie together, huh?
Tell me, let me hear how good you are. I want to see if you can defend Hasselhoff now, because he's in the movie too.
Well, there's no defense. Look, because David Hasselhoff he takes it on himself.
He really demands it.
He's completely lampooning himself. Here's the beauty is, he's taking on the spirit of the film and putting the spear right in his chest. The film is winking at itself while maintaining the straight face the entire time, and Hasselhoff is doing the same.
Which is what the first one did perfectly.
Yes. Yes. Perfect. And this one does it is the same with a lower budget.
What's the boob count in this one, Dave?
I'd have to get my hands on that one.
Yeah,
I'm not
would.
Sure.
Yeah,
yes.
It was high. Now, here's what I say about boobs. That's God's art. Right?
Correct.
Yes. With you.
So,
and sometimes a surgeon's art.
Sometimes it's a combination of God and man.
But God made the men.
That's true.
So it's all
God's.
God.
In the final
let's listen to the trailer.
Did God make that building?
Yeah.
Roundabout way.
All right. Here's a little bit of the trailer from Piranha 3DD.
In the world's wildest water park, the party has never been hotter.
Tell me you did not replace our old lifeguards with strippers.
Water certified strippers.
And the guests have never been hungrier.
Mommy, I got bit. It was a piranha.
It was not a piranha. We think they're back.
These piranha spent eons in underground lakes and rivers.
There's something in the water!
Piranha 3DD.
I'm in.
For your consideration.
I want to go right now.
You got to see it in double.
I'd like to see it in double D.
You need to see it in 3D. It makes a big difference. I said this to my wife. The film is at its most intelligent when it has, and you'll recognize these even more than I do, Ralph. They've got these like grindhouse moments that are on film that they shoot. That are just like you appreciate them on several different levels.
I got what you're saying.
And I think that's when the movie is at its most intelligent.
I don't know at all what you're saying.
Well, it's being referential to other genres.
It's
like
a reference, but it doesn't point to it. It just exists. It's still cool. It's the ones that come at you and it puts you in a. It's kind of got a historical context,
right.
In the film as well. So, look, I'm not going to put a shine on this thing. We know what it is. You know what it
is.
They want that.
It's the best movie ever.
It's a great summer movie. It's a popcorn air conditioning movie.
And the best part is it doesn't even try to do. It does not fooling. Look, this is better than a lot of that $100 million budget stuff. That's really trying. And it's like, wow. Those stories are no better than this story. And guess what? There's a love story in this movie.
Of course there is. There was one in the first one.
The first one too, right?
And any movie franchise that kicks off with Jerry O'Connell's penis being eaten by a piranha had me in for the rest of the run. Whatever they do from now on, and I'll be going first day.
I have to say something about our lead heroine, Danielle Pennebaker. Not a strong swimmer. afraid of the water.
Right.
She's in the water the entire picture.
She's got a horrible agent then, if that's
no,
the case.
No, or she's got incredible will. That she's a warrior princess. That's
she's
awesome.
A great actress. She was in a series that I loved that was short-lived called Shark with James Woods.
Oh, wow.
And she was in that series, and she's a very talented
she's
girl.
She's in everything that has to do with ocean water and yeah. can't swim.
Right. She's a really good person.
The film is called Piranha 3D that we're talking about with David Koechner. It opens everywhere this weekend. So, Ralph, what do we do? Do we say goodbye to Showbiz Beat and come back and talk some more with the kick?
Absolutely.
I know we got a lot of other questions.
We'll take a break. I want to talk
okay,
more,
David,
about,
of course.
More about Piranha 3DD and also maybe a little bit about another film that's having a sequel made sometime soon.
I can't believe that wasn't the first thing out of it. That's
oh, it's,
awesome.
We're all waiting for it.
Oh,
so.
I know, but at least here... You know, they don't ignore the fact that we're here to talk about.
Do you have another film?
Yes.
You have made other films, and we will talk about all of them. When we
was that?
Quick remo-
was that
I'm sorry?
Was that a hot mic?
It was a hot mic, but I didn't hear anything.
Oh, good.
So
we're good.
I didn't either.
I'm sitting over here having a conversation with Ralph. Hey, so anyway.
That is the voice of actor David Koechner here in the studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, our listeners probably best know him from his years on the Hannah Montana Show. But he is in a new film this weekend called Piranha 3D, 3DD, excuse me, which we all insist you go see. Now, you knew it was coming, David, but we couldn't have you in here today without talking about the other thing that is a sensation that everyone is asking you about these days, which is Anchorman 2.
Right Anchorman on. 2.
Right Anchorman
on. I always invite that.
2.
Of course.
And you, of course, and I've heard you say this before, a day has not gone by since the original movie came out where somebody has not asked you on the street, hey, what's going on with the sequel? But it was in limbo and apparently wasn't going to happen for so long that we kind of had given up on it. What changed?
Adam McKay was about to start prepping for Step Brothers 2.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought, you know what, let's just take one last shot at it. Let's go back to Paramount and let's see if they're open to it. And they were.
So it was the studio that was basically saying that we don't
they
have time.
They had said no for a long time, right?
Right. Well, here's the thing. This is a true story. Okay. I'm not making this up. All 2 years ago, we were supposed to start rehearsals in the spring for a Broadway musical version of Anchorman. I'm not kidding
you.
Wow. We were going to run it all summer, and then we were going to go into shooting Anchorman 2, which was not going to be a musical, but it was all just going to be this fun, long march toward making the sequel.
Right.
And it was a go. And then, strangely, boom, it was over.
Just all of a sudden it ended, and
yep.
Who knows why.
And so at that point I thought, oh, well, that was it, because everyone had lined up their schedules.
Mm.
But then magic happened again. And I think that's why they announced it right away, even though it was a year and a half before you'd see the picture.
Just to lock you into it?
Well, just so they
or
no
everybody?
One could go back.
Yeah.
So Paramount couldn't say
right.
no, we changed
right.
our mind.
They have
right.
all the same actors?
Yes.
Aww.
And that had to be a problem, too, because everyone sort of had blown up after that fact.
Exactly.
So salaries go up and yep. schedules get more packed and stuff. So how do you get that gang back together?
Right. They were all willing to compromise from the very beginning in terms of lowering their salaries.
Except for Carell. I heard he wanted it all.
You mean the meanest man in the world?
Yes.
Bastard.
So Will Ferrell all along wanted to do it. Paul Rudd wanted
yes.
to do it. Every time they would ask one of these guys, they say, yeah, it was just the studio. And eventually the studio woke up and realized there's a ton of money to be made off of. Right?
That's always.
I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Always economics. Oh, that's what prevented it, and I think that's what finally.
Yeah, the rumor was they didn't think there was enough overseas
right.
money for the sequel.
It's like,
right?
Well, you don't need it.
Which
the
money
people
do
of
you
America
need?
Have more money than anybody.
I'll watch it enough for overseas people.
We'll buy DVDs, Paramount.
Right.
It's okay.
Oh,
it's so greed. Prevented it.
Now,
and then the irony is greenlit.
Now, where are you in the... Have you seen a script even? I mean,
it's being written now.
Okay.
So it's going to be about the 24-hour... The advent of the 24-hour news cycle.
Okay.
So 1979 is when CNN went nationwide, right?
Uh-huh, right.
So
yeah.
We had all these regional power players, but then, boom, they went national, so it's going to affect the news team. Don't know how yet. I envision a larger fight...
I hope.
Another gang fight.
You kind of have to.
Yeah, that was the
you
best. They were yeah. showing up on bikes and everything.
And the cameos genius. In that scene.
Yes.
You know,
when
you got
insane.
Ben Stiller and you got
yes.
Tim Robbins and all those guys.
I have to say, one of my favorite quotes I heard about the making of Anchorman 2 was Paul Rudd said, well, if they won't make Anchorman 2, we should just go ahead and make Anchorman 3.
Paul, maybe not understanding the concept behind the problem there.
Did you, I know it's a movie that did well at the box office, but really just became unbelievably popular on, you know, on television and DVD. And whatnot. Did you know at the time it was going to be that kind of a movie that was just going to be a keeper, that was going to be one of those defining movies of an era?
Well, you never know what it's going to do. You can't think about the monetary outcome, but I will, and this is true, we all were about halfway through the movie, almost not wanting to mention how good we thought this was going.
Almost afraid to mention
because
that.
It's kind of like a no-hitter. You're not supposed to say, hey, he's got a no-hitter going. It was like that. It was almost whispery. Like, wow, this is actually, this is funny. This is
good.
Uncommonly good.
Yeah.
So that was definitely noticeable.
Watched that movie 30 times.
We all have. It's just it's one of those things when you come across it on television or cable, you just say, okay, well, I'm in now for the next 2 hours. I'm going to sit my ass down because I'm watching.
It's amazing. It's nationwide. I travel. I do stand-up now. But, you know, anywhere I go, the best part is you'll have grandfather who will come up, put his hand on your shoulder and say something.
Really?
And then there's the 13-year-old, you know, grandson who's also equally excited.
Say whammy. Say whammy for me.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'll just go, well, we're at the airport, so whammy. He'll go, that wasn't very
good. Not much of an effort.
I'm supposed to scream it and go, look at me. I'm really desperate. Airport.
Airport love. So when is it coming out? You said a year and a half?
We're going to start shooting in February of 2013.
Can you move that up any?
But it's great. They've got the trailer already online and the posters.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
We shot that in mid-April. We went in one morning, did a bunch of stuff. McKay is so...
He's a genius, right?
Yes, he is. That's a term overused, but McKay is a genius. He's a Philly boy.
Yeah,
he is.
That doesn't make him good.
That's why he's a genius, because he comes from Philly.
That's a strike against
him. It's in the water there. Or the
water,
as we say in Philadelphia.
He's one of those guys, I say his mind has its own gravitational pull. It's that white hot.
Yeah.
You know, Farrell pulled up lame in a soccer match over in the UK this week.
Really?
He was doing a charity soccer match over there with Gordon Ramsay and some other yahoos. They were playing money for UNICEF, I guess.
Whoa.
He was playing soccer, and they had to carry him up the field. He pulled up lame.
Wow, that's...
So you might want to get a guard around your boy there to make sure everything stays in place.
Hey,
push this back any further.
Those are insured things. What are you doing?
Well, there's a lot of pressure on all of you guys to stay alive now till next year. So.
Yeah, just to stay alive.
Just till next year.
I'm wrap
just
you guys in bubble wrap just to make sure you all make it to February of next year.
We don't care what happens to you after that, Keck, but you got to stay alive for Anchorman 2, all right? All right, well, we're about out of time. That one will have to wait till next year, but Piranha 3DD opens up everywhere in theaters tomorrow. We are so excited about this movie. We're not just funning, David. We really are happy that you're in it, and we can't wait to see it, dude.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for coming in. We know you got a ridiculously busy schedule today, but thanks a lot for stopping by and visiting with us.
Anything for you guys.
Tomorrow we have Colin Hanks in the studio. Tomorrow we have Jeffrey Dean Morgan. We have Sugar Ray Leonard tomorrow.
Yeah.
Damn. Wow. How's that?
I like a show. You're surprised. Like, how do we get these people?
Yeah. We're always surprised when guests want to stop by and talk to us.
And we realize, like, is there going to come a point where they realize that it's our show and they're going to call and go, yeah, he's got other engagements. So we got that and your zombie escape plans also. Tomorrow morning on an all-new cast.
Let me tell you about a guy who puts his money where his mouth is, and his name is Bill Gates. Here's a guy who made all the money in the world, was the richest man in the world for many, many years, and then decided one day I'm going to back off of Microsoft, which I created, and I'm going to start a foundation where I give hundreds of millions of dollars away every year.
And that's what he does.
And that is what he does. Yeah. That's his full-time job and going to other super rich people and saying, hey, give me all your money because we're trying to save the world.
Didn't Warren Buffett give him most of his money?
He sure did.
Can you imagine being his kids? Hey, Dad, slow down. Slow down.
Save $100 million for me.
I need a little something.
So he is all about the developing world. He's all about the countries around the world who basically have nothing and trying to keep those people alive and give them a better standard of life. And one of the things that he has turned his attention to is 1.5 million kids who die every year from diarrhea. Okay.
Oh, that's not how you want to go.
That is not how you want to go.
It's just
so how about some proper sanitation as well, Bill Gates says. So he came up with something called the Reinvent the Toilet Fair. And I know it sounds like a joke, but basically he said, look, this is ridiculous. We're using toilets that we've been using for 150 years. They have to be hooked up to these expensive sewage systems. They take tons of water in order to operate. There has to be a better way. So just like those people who put up all that money for the people to go into space with a private vehicle, now he's trying to figure out who can make the best toilet that's the cheapest and the easiest that will work everywhere.
I'm happy he's doing that, but I am not interested in going to a sanitation fair.
It doesn't sound... The Reinvent the Toilet Sanitation Fair does not sound like so much fun. There was a team from the California Institute of Technology that won the top prize for a solar-powered toilet that produces hydrogen and electricity.
Produces?
Like, how does that... How? What? Another university in the UK took second place for a toilet that uses energy from the feces to decompose the waste and recover clean water. How is that possible?
Wow, that's impressive.
First of all, it's not.
You got to be super smart. And how do you get people to the sanitation fair? Like in the list of things, and this is up in Seattle, but in the list of things that there are to do on any given weekend.
What do you want to do this weekend? I don't know. You want to see a movie? Sanitation fair?
How do you get people to go to the sanitation fair? It must be a tough sell. So we asked producer Dave, is there any way he could line up somebody from the Seattle Sanitation Fair, and especially the Reinvent the Toilet Fair, and find out what the hell's going on up there? Hello, Kevin and Bean Show here. Who's this?
Hi, everybody. How are you?
We're good. Who's this?
I'm Trotz, the diarrhea clown.
Oh, God.
Hi.
You're Trotz the diarrhea clown.
That's right. Welcome to the Reinvent the Toilet Fair.
Okay.
Thanks for coming to the fair, everybody. You want a corn dog?
Oh, God.
Oh, no. I don't want to eat anything surrounded by toilets, Trotz.
It's great here at the Reinvent the Toilet Fair. We're learning how to make less expensive toilets, high-tech toilets.
But I don't.
Oh, no. Wait, no, what was that?
No.
Sorry, just a little clown fun.
Oh, wow. Oh. Now, look, you're a clown. You're not trying to attract children to this fair. This is not something that
of
they would.
We are. We want kids to learn about sanitation and building better toilets. We want to instill them a love for sanitation early on.
But is it, oh, please stop sorry. That, Trotz. Seriously.
Trotz had some bad linguine.
Oh, God.
This just doesn't sound like it's fun at all for
It's fun for all ages. Look at all these different toilets we have to choose from. They're amazing. They're high-tech. They're toilets.
Right. Stop making that noise.
And it comes very handy.
Oh,
when Trotz comes to town.
Oh, Trotz. This is really the only fair you could work at, isn't it?
The only one they let me at. I tried to go to a lot of them, but they turned me away, a lot of them.
What's funny about a
That's not a horn either. That's coming out of me.
Oh, man. Ouch. Do you make balloon animals?
I sure do. You don't want to know what they're filled with, though.
No. Please stop, Trotz. You're the worst clown ever.
I'm the best clown. I'm Trotz the diarrhea clown.
No. Please stop.
Oh.
If I could, I would.
Have you seen a doctor? Is there some sort of a medicine that you could take or something?
I've taken it all. They said there's nothing that can help me except bringing joy to children everywhere. Oh. Watch the puddles, kids.
All right.
Okay, these big shoes sure get in the way.
Bean, do you have the scare everybody in the world stab that we could use for this? Yeah. Let me do the headline first. Your eyelashes could kill you. This is from Channel 2 last night.
Hands it off for Penner.
Thompson put Carter scores! Oh, I'm sorry. That was NBC Sports. I apologize. That was a Kings game.
I was confused.
Yeah. No, this is from Channel 2 last night. Your eyelash extensions.
Oh, come on.
Could kill you.
Serious?
This is very important.
Now, why? How? I can't imagine.
I'm exaggerating a little with could kill you.
Could you go blind?
But the way they teased it, the way they teased it all day was pretty much that.
They're going to attack you?
Yeah, pretty much they're going to turn on you all at once.
Do they grow too fast and strangle you in your sleep?
They choke you out. Here's the report from Channel 2.
If the eyes are the windows to the soul, and I think this is much too deep for this, but I'm going to continue. Then eyelash extensions are becoming the window treatment that enhance their beauty.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. Really?
Wow.
You hear that guy? He's so... You can tell that these people hate this job.
This is sweeps time, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's the worst.
I think that they probably don't see the copy before it comes up in the teleprompter or something, and they just look at it and go, oh, really? Now I have to read this and make it sound good?
Yeah.
Wow.
But as CBS 2's Sevilla Vargas shows us, that luscious set of lashes might leave your eyelids bare if you're not careful.
Not bare, no!
I would like to suggest that this is not news. Just a suggestion, just putting it out there.
But a lot of people are doing it, Kevin.
Eyelashes were very average eyelashes. They're not particularly thick. They're not overly thin.
When Tiffany Howard from Encino heard rave reviews from friends about eyelash extensions, she had to try them.
So they're taking glue, and they're gluing on individual lashes onto your own eyelashes.
Did you know this was going on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard going of
them. Glue? They're
quite
gluing
a few
them
years.
On? Did they glue
yeah.
them on?
Yeah, and they last very about popular. 6 weeks, and they cost a fortune.
Huh. She says waking up with bold lashes was worth the money.
I have no makeup on, and you can see in this photo that my eyes are popping.
My eyes are popping.
It's pretty cool, let me tell you.
They're popping. It does look good, I have to confess.
Would you say that the eyes are popping?
I still don't understand the downside, though. It seems like you buy them, you put them on, yeah. they look good. How do they kill
There's a dark, dark side.
She also loved the time she saved applying mascara, but after a few weeks, the glamour grew out.
I could feel when I would blink like that, I could feel the glue.
But that wasn't even her main concern.
Uh-oh.
But what I didn't realize was that in doing that, the good lashes, the real lashes, were coming out with the extensions.
Tiffany says she was left with gaps on her eyelids, and it took months before her natural lashes grew back.
She was left with gaps in her eyelids,
dear
people.
God.
How's she supposed to exist?
How are you not told that from the beginning? That is tragic.
Her eyes are
bonkers.
She's not alone, according to this beauty insider who chose not to be identified.
Now, this is funny because it's a, quote, beauty insider, and they do it like a mafia boss, where they put him in, like, in a shadow so you can't see who it is. Yes. She doesn't want to be known as the person who's blowing the whistle on the fake eyelashes.
Eyelash extensions are the latest addiction. I've seen many women that have lost their eyelashes, and once they stop using them, now they have less eyelashes, and I don't see them coming back.
Oh. Dr. Wendy Lee, an eye surgeon, says she's seeing this from patients more and more.
The most common complaint, and I hear it a lot, is that women end up with shorter, stubbier lashes, or even no lashes after they take these off.
I have a question.
Then it becomes a vicious cycle because they don't want to stop the lash extension.
I have a question.
It's like heroin, people.
It is. How long?
You start with this, you go right to heroin.
Where is Gloria Allred? Are the Senate hearings?
How many people have they interviewed already? Four? Five?
It does seem like they're putting all of their resources yes. into this eyelash story.
You understand? They end up with stubby lashes.
Bean, you're missing the importance.
God,
I'm
gaps.
Sorry. There's 20 more seconds, Bean.
In order to grow their natural lashes back.
You know, it was enough to say, I will never do this again.
Of course, there are beauticians who say they can preserve your natural lashes, but for now, Tiffany has just one tip for beautiful eyes.
Find a fabulous mascara.
Here you go.
That was it.
There you go.
What a scoop. Channel 2 just won the sweeps war.
And it really climaxed, didn't it, when they said find a good mascara?
Shocking.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
All right. Here's a story we talked about yesterday. Now we want to hear when it has happened to you. And we're talking about butt dialing, ladies and gentlemen. That seems to be the term when your phone accidentally calls someone. You're not intending to dial anyone's number, but you hit a number. Usually it's something you've got saved in your phone. And you call them up. And it's not on purpose. And sometimes it gets you in a lot of trouble.
Just look at that butt. That is a tight butt.
And tight pants. And then all of a sudden somebody's listening to your entire conversation.
Exactly. Doesn't necessarily mean that your phone has to be in your back pocket. It can be in your front pocket. It can be in your purse if you're a lady. It can be anywhere, but you accidentally dial. You roll over on it in bed, for instance. Maybe that's what happened.
My wife purse dialed me, I don't know how, probably 25 times within 3 to 4 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
I finally just turned off my phone. She had no idea. First, of course, you're listening. What's she saying about me?
What's
I wonder
going
if she's having sex with somebody else. What's happening? And then you can't hear anything, so then you get frustrated. You hang up, and it's just like, she doesn't have any idea. This could go on all day.
Well, here's why it's back in the news. Michael Gorno is his name. He is a man in Connecticut who was trying to steal metal from a local business. His phone accidentally dialed. It was in his pants. He was crawling under a chain link fence to get into the yard where he was going to steal 700 pounds of scrap metal. Well, when the 911 happens to be the number that's dialed on his phone, and by the way, as we asked yesterday, who puts 911 in a speed dial?
Yeah, because it's only two more button pushes.
Yeah,
it's a speed dial you can press once.
outside of calling the operator, it's the shortest phone number you can dial, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So his phone calls 911. Of course, he doesn't intentionally dial. He's, you know, crawling around in the dirt, so he doesn't know he's made this call. And, of course, on the other end, they go, uh-oh, this sounds like a distress call. Somebody's in danger. We better send the police out. So they use the GPS to find his cell phone. And sure enough, as he is loading up his truck with all this scrap metal, the police arrive and go, somebody called 911.
He's like, what? I didn't. What are you talking about? Who?
Oh, that's the best. How much must he have hated himself when he found out it was him?
Sir, the phone was coming from your butt.
So he probably would have gotten away with it if it had not been from his phone. He's been charged with trespassing and larceny. He's out on a $5,000 bond and is scheduled to appear in court next week. So we're looking for butt dialing stories. Has it happened to you? 1-800-520-1067. You want to take Sam real quick before the break?
Yeah, let's start with Sam. Hey, Sam.
Hi.
Hi there. Oh, Sam's a female. All right. Tell us about your butt dialing.
I was 17 at my cousin's bachelorette party, and my cousins are pretty crazy, so they got me really drunk, and I accidentally butt dialed my uncle as I was puking all night.
Oh, that was fun for everyone.
I'll bet your uncle loved that.
He played it for my entire family.
Yes! I love your uncle.
You had some splaining to do that night, didn't you?
Yeah, my mom knew my family was crazy, though, and that I was safe, so she just laughed.
17. That's so funny, though, because I imagine that he got the whole family around. All right, everybody, I got something to share with you. And then your face just went red. I love it.
Thank you for calling, Sam. Thank you for listening. 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. You can either dial us or have your butt do it. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean. Talking about when your phone has a mind of its own, it butt dials someone you don't intend to, like this caller, emailer, I should say. Called in sick to work, went to a Dodger game. My phone called my boss, and he heard me drunk yelling, "Go Dodgers."
Oh, no.
It was not a good day when I returned. I had no idea that I had called him, so I ended up lying and saying that I had been really sick with the flu. Well, I now have a new job and a keypad lock on my phone. So that's what can happen with butt dialing.
Man.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Oh, did we lose Max? Is he gone?
He's gone.
Let's try Liz. Max, please call back. We want to talk to you on the air, dude. Let's talk to Liz now. She's on line 6 joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Liz. Thanks for hanging on. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What did your butt dial and what was someone listening to? Okay.
So my 17-year-old, I was 17. My husband now was 18. And we were having sex. And we actually called his mother. And his mother stayed on the phone for 30 minutes trying to figure out what was going on.
What?
He was supposed to be on his way to college. So she thought that he was just hanging out at my house. And we were freaking out. We were like, oh, my God, did we leave a message? Did she figure it out? We're in so much trouble. Turns out she spoke to her husband. She put him on the line, too. And they thought he was just at my house hanging out.
What the hell kind of sex are you having?
They had, and you know, the funny thing is that day we were having intense, and she did not realize it.
Wow.
So you are great. So lucky.
You are lucky. That's so funny because we were having sex. I mean.
that's among the worst things that can happen when your phone decides to dial somebody, I guess. Unless you're having sex with somebody else and your spouse is listening, that would even be worse.
Speaking of calling parents, let's talk to Sean. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Good, thanks. Your butt dialed who?
I butt dialed my mother when I was scoring marijuana from a dealer.
You're getting weed, and your mom was listening.
Yeah, actually, it went to her voicemail. So,
I see.
When she listened to her message, she had a pleasant surprise, and she decided to play it for my wife.
So she played it for your wife, and it went,
does anybody have any drugs? I'm looking to score some drugs.
Oh, yeah, they got everything. They got me taking bong hits and all that, guys.
That's it.
You're a dumbass.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Andrew writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, my dad butt dialed my stepmom while on a roller coaster. She answered, heard my dad screaming for his life and thought he was being brutally murdered or something. Scared the hell out of her, only afterwards that she realized it was a roller coaster.
Sweet.
That's hilarious timing. It's so funny how many times the butt dialing happens at the exact wrong second. Like, it doesn't just butt dial when you're walking down the street doing nothing. It only does it when you're doing something crazy.
Speaking of which, let's talk to Christine. Hi, Christine.
Hello.
Your butt dialed who and during what?
It wasn't me, actually. I was waiting for my husband to get home from a coworker's birthday party, and I got a phone call, and I heard a lot of rustling around, and I thought, oh, my gosh, he's in a car accident, and I kept saying his name, And then I heard another woman saying his name. And I was like,
so
freaked out, and that was the beginning of the end of our marriage.
I would say that was the beginning, middle, and end of your marriage, probably. So you heard him having sex with another woman while he was supposed to be at a coworker's party.
Yeah, I heard her saying his name, although he denied it was sex, but it did not sound that way.
Did it sound like she was having more fun than you ever had with him? You're like, hey, if you can perform like that for her.
Yeah,
thank you very much for the call, Christine. We appreciate it. Let's take Robert. Robert is on line four, joining us on the Kevin Meacham. Hey, Robert, what's going on?
Hang on. We got wait for them to put Robert on hold.
What's happening?
They're not putting. There we go. All right. Hey, Robert.
Hey.
What happened?
Good morning. I install cable, and I have a cheap phone that they give us for work.
Right.
And I'm always, whether it's crawling underneath the house, if a lot of buttons get pressed, it dials 911.
Oh,
and
sweet.
So it happens about 10 times to me, and what they usually do is call you back, make sure you're all right, but I always don't answer my phone.
Ah, then so, they have to send somebody out by law, don't
so
they?
So they have to. And so the customer freaks out when cops show up at their house. And like, we got an emergency call, and no one knows it's me because I'm in an attic. And so
do you hide? Do you hide and not say anything? That'd be awesome. All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's talk to a 911 operator. How about that?
I bet this happens all the time, right?
Mark.
Yes.
You're a 911 operator.
I was a 911 operator for a number of years in Ohio.
All right. What's the deal? 911 gets called even if a phone is locked, right? Like, that's the only number they can dial even if your phone is, like, closed down, right?
Not only if it's closed or locked, but also if it's disconnected. Like, if there's no service to the phone and it has a charge to it, you can still dial 911.
Really? Wow. You must have gotten a lot of these.
Yeah. We used to joke about if we had a nickel for each one we got, we'd probably be millionaires and be able to retire.
Sure.
Wow. Now, did anyone ever call you? Like, the story that we led off this conversation with was a guy in the middle of committing a crime. He was trying to steal metal from a factory. Did anything like that ever happen to you?
Had a guy actually, the buyer of a heroin deal, butt dialed while he was trying to get his fix.
Sweet!
And, he pissed him and caught the guy with a number of already weighed out baggies of heroin and the guy that was buying the heroin, and it was a pretty successful day for them.
Does anybody have any drugs? I'm looking to score some drugs.
They called 911 during a heroin deal.
So in a situation like that, you probably don't say anything to the person. You just use your little GPS and alert the authorities and send the police over, right?
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny because when you're doing it, you know a butt dial the second it comes in. You still have to try to find them and do the whole GPS renegotiating the hit and everything.
Right.
But you know as soon as you hear it because it sounds kind of like somebody like rubbing a piece of paper against the speaker of the phone.
Because they're not talking into the phone.
Tell it's muffled and all that.
Right. So as soon as you hear it, you know what it is. But when I heard the people talking in the background, I was like, oh, it's on.
Sweet. Love it. All right.
That's fantastic.
Oops, sorry.
Let's close with Sam. Oh, Sam has decided he didn't want to talk to us after
all. No, he didn't.
All.
That was a Kevin mistake.
Oh.
That was me hitting the wrong button.
His wife heard a drive-by shooting when he butt-dialed her. How about that? That would have been an exciting story to hear.
Yeah, I would have if I hadn't hung up. He butt-dialed her just before the shooting, so she heard the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
She was listening, it was muffled, and then there were shots fired.
Oh, wow.
How crazy is that? I wish I wouldn't have hung up on him.
Yeah, that would have been great. That
would have been a good story.
Ralph Graben, I'm going to give you the honors of introducing our next guest, because I know you've been a fan for years.
Well, I discovered him on the internet, like most people. We saw his original video that he made for his classic tune, Average Homeboy. And then he came back, and his rap career was resurrected by all the people who watched that video. And now he is performing right here in Los Angeles tonight at the Whiskey A Go-Go. Ladies and gentlemen, Denny Blaze is Denny Blaze.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We just got Blaze. I can't believe we just got Blaze.
Wait, I don't think we've been Blazed yet.
We're Blaze. Oh. When he walks in the room, you get Blaze.
Is that when it happens? Because I always thought it was when you were done.
Well, you know what? If you watch the video, you've been Blaze.
Okay, I've been Blaze. Right. Can I play some of it just so
How
people...
How can you not?
Right, just so people get an idea of the kind of work he does.
I'm not the typical rapper that you'll meet. I don't live in a box, nor was I raised on the street. I get up every morning.
Average homeboy.
Oh,
the day it was recorded.
Well, that was the original mix. That was the old school version.
You know, when I made that, there weren't CDs, there weren't DVDs, there wasn't even an internet.
Right. It's funny because you can't tell.
Well, hey, on a boombox with a keyboard and a microphone. No, it's okay.
What year was that made, Denny?
It was made, everybody thinks Average Homeboy was my first video. I actually made a video before that called Blazin' Hazin', but the guy who found my tape at MTV in a box put Average Homeboy out first.
I see.
But roughly 89, 90, and it was about the same time you guys went on the air here, which tells you how long ago that was.
Wow. And put me back in the headspace of 20 years ago of what Denny Blaze was trying to do. I mean, was this an audition tape that you were making to send out to record companies or something you were just making to entertain yourself or your friends, or what was going on?
I always liked music. I could never sing, and I liked a rap station in the Cleveland area, and I had a boombox, and I learned all these words, and there's a song called Jam On It by Nucleus, and I memorized the song. And
can you do some Jam On It for us right now?
When I was a little baby boy, my mama gave me a brand new toy. Two turntables and with a mic, and I learned to rock like a Dolomite. Time went by in a star creation. I knew someday I would rock the nation. And when I heard someday I'd rock the nation, I said, hey, I want to rock the nation someday. Little did I know, one day I'd be rocking the world on the internet.
That's right.
So, again, though, to ask my question again, what was your plan with the rap? Okay. With the video that you made.
So I grew up in a TV family, production family, and I used to ride the school bus to the TV station, and I got a job at a Warner Cable when I was just a teenager. So I had access to video equipment, and I thought, and I had access, because I worked at Warner Cable, I thought I could get it to somebody at Warner Brother Records. So I said, I'm going to make a tape, I'm going to send it off to Warner Brother Records and try to get a recording contract and get... It's kind of like pioneering thing, too. At the time, there weren't white rappers. There weren't solo rap artists. So
right.
I said, I want to tell a point of view from a white guy from the suburbs of Ohio and tell about me. And the best thing you do is be yourself and be original. So I wrote an original song, made a demo, sent it off. And I said, hey, I know I can do this. I want a recording contract.
It is kind of original thinking for a white kid in a middle-class neighborhood in Ohio to think that he could be a rap star. That you're right. There was no archetype for you to follow, really, at that point, right?
Well, if you look, the reason
there's
why...
no Eminem, for sure.
Yeah,
right?
The
no
reason
Eminem.
Why my video is so catchy is because... It's like a time capsule from that period. I got the mullet. I got the hyper-color clothes. And if you look, it's not something that you can actually like recreate really easy. It's something that Hollywood have to do. But, you know, it wasn't easy to do back then because there weren't camcorders or cell phones with camp videos on them. I had to make it actually on a TV video camera that was tied to a VCR with gigantic tapes. And every tape had to be logged. And once you made an edit, you laid it down. It was done. You can't undo, paste, copy, or slide around. So you had to think out all your edits. And it was very time-consuming. So there's not a lot of videos out there like Average Homeboy from that time period. But, yeah, it was
one of those steam-powered cameras they used to use back 20 years ago.
They put coal burning.
They were heavy. They had those gigantic steel tripods, and you had to have a cable. Your camera actually had to have a cable to a VCR that was like as big as those old VCRs you had on your table, and the batteries for them were like the size of car batteries, one for each. So,
did you get any response at all to the video from the various people you sent it out to?
I have, and I have saved to this day a folder full of past letters. I was telling Ralph a little bit earlier that I probably... Over the last 22 years, I've gotten a pile, hundreds of pass letters, and I've sent them off to all the major record labels. And, you know, thank you for your submission. However, it's not meeting our needs, or we're going in a different direction. But thank you, but no thank you.
We need to take a break, but I do have one question I want you to think about before we go. Is there a number of no's that come your way, and then finally you just go, maybe this isn't for me? I know a lot of people say don't ever give up on your dreams and stuff like that, but...
But here's in Kevin reality, the Dream Killer to tell you otherwise.
In reality, some people should give up their dreams. A lot of the early people in American Idol, you want to tell those people, hey, never give up on your dream. You go, no, maybe you should give up on that one.
Well, if you come out to the Whiskey A Go-Go tonight, you'll see that I have a dream. I still have a dream. I'm working at it, and I don't stop believing.
I was going to give you some time to think about your answer, but you don't even need it.
How can Denny sit across the console from you, Kevin, a guy who's working in professional radio, and say, I'm not good enough to achieve my dream?
You brought that up enough today, Ralph. Denny Blaze is here. You're all being blazed on the Kevin Abid Show. DennyBlaze.com, and that is spelled B-L-A-Z. By the way, DennyBlaze.com is where you can go. You can get his music on iTunes. The show at the Whiskey tonight is an all-ages show, just $15. And we'll talk more about what's happening on stage tonight and some of the special guest stars that are joining you with our guest, Denny Blaze, when we return after this on the Kevin Abid. That's not a Denny Blaze song, so I'm not interested in hearing it, Kevin. I don't want to hear anything that's not Denny Blaze. What are you doing?
It's over.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. It's been a long time coming. We've spoken with Denny numerous times on the phone over the years from his home out there in the Cleveland, Ohio area. But he is in town for a show tonight at the Whiskey. Tickets available through TicketWeb.com. Just $15, all ages show. How is Leif Garrett appearing on stage tonight with you, Denny? What's going on with that?
Well, I was booked for the show, and they paired us up. So Jake Perry over at M Productions called me up and wanted to book me, and he set us up. It's Friday the 13th, so that's kind of a scary matchup there. I don't know.
What a win for the kids, though, to get to see both of you tonight.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm looking forward to coming out and get a chance to blaze in West Hollywood.
How many songs you have, Denny?
Might want to be careful talking about blazing in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It takes on a whole different connotation.
Yeah, exactly.
I know you're from Cleveland. You may not be familiar with West Hollywood. But
I have more than 100 songs produced, but I'm doing 7 songs a night, about a half an hour set, and I'll probably go on around 10:30-ish or so.
Black Man Can't Swim? Because that's the hit, right?
No, you know, I'm not doing that one, and if anybody in Hollywood's listening that has the balls enough to make that movie with me, I haven't found anybody that has any, and you know, it's okay to make the movie White Man Can't Jump, mm-hmm. as you heard on Tosh.0 that I said, but Black Man Can't Swim, don't say anything negative about that. Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's comedy. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, you keep that to yourself.
I'm just saying.
You know, you might want to put together another half an hour because Leif Garrett may not show tonight. It's very possible. So you may be on stage longer than you think, quite frankly. I saw him on Celebrity Rehab. He may not make it to the show tonight.
Let's hope he does and hope everybody has a good time tonight.
I'm sure they will.
You'll be doing, you just got Blaze. I'm sure you'll be doing that one tonight, right?
Yep. Yes, I'm going to do that.
We have an instrumental of that. I mean...
You want to have our guest perform here. Live in studio?
Are you comfortable with that?
I'll do whatever you guys want. I appreciate you guys having me here.
No worries.
Whatever you guys want.
I have.
You just got blazed.
You have the
track.
That's quite
a statement. You just got blazed?
I got the track, yeah.
Oh, well. Most rappers, you know, even the best of them, they don't want to do it live in front of people like this. So that's very impressive.
Like I said, it's something I've been looking forward to do. I love what I do. And
all right, there you go. A little live performance.
You just got blazed.
Denny Blaze.
Average homeboy on K-Rock. I blaze it up, man. Blasted flames, here I go with my lava flow. I produce a glow, I ignite the show. If you don't want to get burnt, drop down low. I kick more rhymes than you can throw. Average homeboys rocking this scene. I'm cooking with gasoline. My flow can burn your afro sheen. I singe up haters like chili beans. I toast up crackers and keep it clean. I spread through your body like gangrene. I'm a middle class guy just living a dream. I bust this track like a rhyme machine. Step back, man, my lyrics blaze. I've been doing this skit for many days. You know how I like my donuts glazed.
Look at that. Denny Blaze.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. K-Rock just got blazed.
All right.
Even, If I may be so bold to suggest, can we turn down the audience a little bit?
I can't turn them down.
You can't control the audience.
It's real emotion.
I would say, if I may be so bold, you are better now than you were when you first started.
I have worked on perfecting my skill, and as I mentioned...
But I didn't say you perfected it yet. Don't get crazy.
Well,
you're better than you were when you started.
That's why I'm the average homeboy. I'm never going to be... you know, Tosh.0 called me the above average homeboy, but I'm sticking as the average homeboy till I die. I'm not the best rapper. I'm not the worst, but when it comes to white boy rappers, you know I did it first. So, anyways, you know...
All right.
My thing
is, I like that a guy gives himself a title of average. Like, that's...
That's a good bar to set.
Because I might be able to reach average.
And when you go over it, everybody's like, oh my God, look at that average guy.
There's a long way down when you're at the top, thinking you're way above average. Yeah.
That's correct. Yes.
Smart man.
And by the way, even though even though Kevin the Dream Killer, even though he wants you to fail, Denny, I don't want him to fail. I'm so impressed with your dedication to your craft and the heart and the soul and the sweat and the tears and everything that you put into it. I mean, this is the most important, I mean, outside of your family, of course, this is really important to you. This is a lifelong dream that you're working hard every day to try to accomplish. And I give you props for that, my friend.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And, you know, ever since I've been a kid, I had a desire to entertain people. Back when I was a kid, there weren't, like I said, camcorders, but my dad used to tape us on that Hi-8 film video stuff that you used to play on your wall. And, you know, even when I was 3 or 4 years old, I was making faces in the camera and jumping around. And I have 4 sisters. I used to, during their slumber parties, I'd get on the the table and do Elvis Presley imitations. I
now,
always
did they
loved
want
it.
You to do that? I mean, oh, yeah.
I entertain them.
I'm just
and,
checking.
I just love entertaining people. I also like to be a leader. And as we talked about, you know, most people follow the crowd, and a guy that wants to start rap music probably would start acting like a gangsta. And hey, I got a belt on here in the studio today. If anybody sees, I don't
your
wear
pants
my pants around my ankles.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I like to be a leader. And
you're not blinged out.
I like to be original, uh-huh. leader, and so I have chased it, and I am dedicated. I love what I do, and I haven't let the naysayers say I can't do it.
There you go.
Well, you can see all of these videos at Denny's website, which is dennyblaze.com. You can find the videos on YouTube. Also, you can buy the music on iTunes. And most importantly, be at the Whiskey A Go-Go tonight, 7 o'clock. You say you go on around what, around 10:30? Is that what you said?
Around 10:30. And before I go, though, I brought you guys some gifts. I want you all to
what?
See them real quick. Yeah.
Okay.
All
right. Yeah,
being
nice.
That I'm from Ohio... Mm-hmm. And that you guys are a morning right. show here. I got right. a couple things that are appropriate. Can we pass this around to Kevin?
Pass around,
sure,
yeah.
Of course.
Sure.
Wow, we rarely
wow,
have
look at that.
A guest come in with a gift.
This is a coffee mug from the NFL Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's an Eagles mug with all the players that were ever in the Eagles that are in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, no.
No kidding.
Mine's going to be empty.
Lisa's going to open up beans, right. and we'll have to send it out to the island out
Very
there.
Very kind of you. Of course, you're right near there, near Canton, where they have the Hall of Fame.
I was born actually across the street from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Right. It's actually an expressway, but right across the street, and I grew up in the Canton area, where the home of the Hall of Fame is. And, you know, if you guys are sports fans, that's where you got to come to see all the best of the best come to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
This sure. is beautiful.
Kevin got a blank mug just with his name on it because I guess there are no Arizona Cardinals in there yet.
I was making a joke about it, but there really aren't any. So it's
actually blank.
It's just a Hall of Fame
It's
mug.
A Hall of Fame.
Oh, it's a Hall of Fame
that's
mug.
The Pro Football Hall of Fame right
okay.
there.
That's
so.
Pretty cool.
That's for you,
very kind of you.
Thank you very much,
Denny.
I also got Lisa and Bear mug stuff, too.
Thanks,
Denny.
Plastic cups.
Yeah. Red Solo.
What a nice guy.
These aren't cheap plastic cups. These are from the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
Everything
we'll
else.
That's right.
It. I'm
Thank
an average homo, remember.
Yeah! And is there anything else you want to say before we let you go?
You know, add me on Facebook, Denny Blaze, or check out my website, DennyBlaze.com. Thank you so much for having me in the studio. Come out tonight. I hope you'll get blazed. And thank you for you guys. You guys are dedicated, too. You guys have been doing this for 20-some years here. So props to you guys for keeping up what you do and loving what you do and entertaining all of L.A. every morning. And
I'm waiting for you to say you got blazed.
K-Rock, you just got blazed. Yeah.
We got Weezer on the way here on the show. Also, Group Love, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Fun Period. That's all coming up. Tommy Chong in just a few minutes, and Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up as well.
First, the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. On the wheel, we have Irwin, the formerly paralyzed kangaroo. We have way too many animal stories, so we have to put them on a wheel, spin it, and see which one we're going to investigate further. Toto.
Hold on a sec. Formerly paralyzed, Irwin is fine now?
Apparently. I don't
wow,
know.
I hope it lands on that. I want to hear about that.
Toto, the tornado kitten. The giant Indian death spiders.
Okay.
Houdini, the Australian runaway goat. Thriller, Michael Jackson's Tiger in Heaven.
Oh.
The Brazilian penis snake. The beer-drinking home invasion bears. Florence, the shark that turned vegetarian.
No.
Harvey Dent, the two-faced kitten. Badass super soldier ants. And the Icelandic worm monster.
Wow.
Wow. Got a lot of animals. All right. Let's go ahead and do the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices then.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Good spin.
That felt
good. Good wrist action.
How do you know? That felt good. Oh, how about that? It landed on Florence, the shark that turned vegetarian.
Oh, my God.
Yay!
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but sharks eat people, right? And they eat fish. And they
eat fish. They eat meat. They eat meat.
Yeah,
right.
They eat meat.
That's all they eat.
Why this is such a surprise. Like, how and why would a shark ever turn vegetarian? I don't even understand what the point of that is, because they don't have a moral issue with eating animals.
I've never heard of a nurse shark, but apparently there is one. At the Birmingham National Sea Life Center in England, appears to have become the world's first vegetarian shark. It is crazy. This shark eats lettuce, other veggies. If they give it meat, it won't eat it.
No kidding.
They have to hollow out different vegetables and hide meat in it.
Because it needs protein.
Yeah. And if it senses that there's meat inside the stick of whatever in the lettuce, it won't eat it.
How about that?
What the hell?
This shark, Lisa Florence, a 6-foot nurse shark, made headlines back in 2009 after undergoing an out-of-water surgery procedure to remove a hook from her jaw. She had a rusty hook caught in her jaw. So they caught her, fixed her up. She's never been the same. For whatever reason, since then, she refuses to eat meat. So we wanted to find out more about this story, and we asked Dave in the last 30 seconds when it landed on this on the wheel to light up Florence the nurse shark in Britain for us so we can find out what's going on. Florence, are you there?
Hello. How's it going?
It's going well. Fine, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for asking.
Now, you are a nurse shark. You are 6 feet long, right?
That's right. I'm 6 feet long. Quite long for a nurse shark.
Yeah, it seems like it would be tough to maintain that physique if you're only eating lettuce and carrots.
Well, that's one part of it, isn't it? I wanted to keep a svelte figure.
Sharks?
Because, look, there's a lot of fish in the sea, right?
Right.
And for me to find a gentleman shark, it's not easy being 6 feet tall and also being a little bit hefty, you know?
Right.
So I want to be able to attract a nice male shark and get my figure proper.
But how, I mean, when you see little fish swimming around in the tank with you there, how do you not want to eat them? How is that not just instinct? You've been doing it your whole life until recently.
Well, I just think, a moment on the lips, forever on the hips. That's what I say to myself. And then I leave the fish alone. I say, oh, give me a stick of lettuce. That's what I say.
Did I say stick of lettuce?
You did.
I just worry that people, especially young women, already have so many eating disorders. I hate to think that that's something that's now happening in the rest of the animal kingdom.
At least I'm eating, aren't I? I'm eating vegetables.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like I'm sticking my fin down my throat and blowing everything out into the ocean.
Right. Yeah,
could be worse. I'm just eating a proper diet, that's all. Well, look, you can get protein from a lot of other sources, first of all.
Well, you're not getting enough of it, so they're having to hide the meat.
I know. I like a nice game of hide the meat as much as the next girl.
Where else can you get protein if not from meat, though?
Well, you can get it from beans.
Oh, beans, okay.
You can get
it. There aren't any beans in the ocean, are there?
Well, yeah, they're all the little sea beans.
It's very educational.
You can get it from cheese. A nice slice of cheese has protein in it.
Okay, cheese? There's no cheese.
Of course there is.
In the ocean?
Yes.
What's wrong with you?
There, especially in the area near Jerusalem, in the Nazareth Sea, there's cheeses of Nazareth.
Really? I think the shark may have to go in the file. So you think it's just a lifestyle choice, and you're healthy, and you're happy, and you're fine, and you think we shouldn't make such a big deal about it. Is that right, Florence?
That's right. Look, I'm stunned that everyone's being so attentive to the fact that I'm a vegetarian.
Right.
And no one, not one person, has written an article about the fact that I can talk and use a cell phone.
That's a good point. That should be the lead.
I would think that would be much more interesting. It goes to show you how people are.
It does.
That's why I would love to eat you all.
Okay.
But I can't because I'm vegetarian.
That's correct, yes.
So good for you, bad for me.
Right, thank you.
That is good news. I mean, really.
That is. Congratulations, Bean.
Yeah, pillow Bean involved at all.
Bean was able to bite the pillow.
He's a pillow.
That's the operation. That's great.
That happened.
Hey, 2 hours from right now here on the Kevin Bean Show, win your way into the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows. We're talking about pit tickets and backstage passes. Your chance to win at 9:10 every day this week, then again at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. That's how we do. Details at krock.com. This is one of my favorite breaks of the whole year. I'm so excited that we're finally at this point in the show today because
that's
we're
great. You know, most jobs, people can make mistakes and then they're forgotten. Not here, though. Here,
unless you're an air traffic controller.
Here we catalog them and bring them back.
Every year, we have various categories that we enjoy looking back at the year that just passed. In this case, we're talking about the moments with those brain farts that happened to all of us. Maybe some of us more than others. and we compile, out of the hundreds that we've assembled throughout the calendar year, we compile the 10
favorite moments with, and I'm very happy to be able to present those to you right now.
Top 10 moments with.
It this does seem like we spend most of the year cataloging these.
Did we have a team of researchers work on this? Because I can't imagine one person could go through them all to decide what the top 10 were.
We farmed this out to the factory that makes the iPods in China. Good, we got 100,000 workers. They just all took the day off and worked on this project.
Those kids have smaller hands. They can get through the files quicker.
And I'm happy to say that virtually all of us are represented, you guys.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that.
We're all here. In fact, we'll start off at number 10, and this is a Bean moment.
This
just goes to prove that sometimes even the simplest details that you're trying to get out on the radio just don't come out right.
And now, a moment with Bean.
We'll be right back on the world, whatever it is.
That was a moment with Bean.
Right.
That's just nothing going right.
You gave up so fast.
He just bailed.
We almost called it the Kelly and Regis show.
Now, Lisa is up next at number 9.
Yes!
And I have to give Lisa some credit here because if I read as many commercials as Lisa does throughout the year,
yeah,
I would fill this top 10. There's no way I could get as much copy straight as she does. And every once in a while, it does go sideways on her.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
Explore the amazing world of Ray in this immersion new mega attraction, Manta. Ride the Ray, feel the rush.
Well said.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
How is that not higher? Wow.
Talk about giving up.
That was unbelievable. That multiplication. That's almost that moment that newscaster had.
A little stroke.
When she has a stroke and the words just in no particular order make no sense
whatsoever.
How's
that only number 9?
That's crazy.
Because that's how good you are.
Come on. Oh, my Lord.
I don't know that SeaWorld got their money's worth in that commercial. Number 8, top 10 moments with for the year here on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Ralph Garman.
What? All right.
No way.
Who also, by the way, is in charge of disseminating an incredible amount of information every day in the showbiz beat, and it doesn't always go his way.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
So good on the West Wing. Now he can be seen on Spike on USA, not Spike, Psych. Over on USA Today. Not today.
Nope. I can't stop thinking about these cupcakes.
That was a moment with Ralph.
Wow.
Number 7. Oh, Kevin is on the list.
Well, I made it.
Top 10.
Finally, right. Kevin got on the list this year.
He is trying to pay a compliment to a very funny guest. Reggie Watts was in studio with us. And here's a little bit of how that went.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Were you a musician first?
I was. Thank you. Whatever that was, I was.
Thank you.
Definitely was.
There's a cross between a magician and a musician.
Thanks for cutting me off. That actually helped me a lot.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Were you a musician? Were you a musician? Magician?
Yes, I was.
Little, you know that would have kept
special
going
needs boy.
As long as he would have left it.
Yep. He did you a favor.
What? As long as he would have let it.
I did say left it.
That's for next year.
6 on the list. And again, this is me. This is Bean this time. And I got my women in the news confused a little bit and really dug myself a big hole here.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Right. How did Amanda Knox, celebrated baby killer, end up? Excuse me.
Acquitted you got
baby
it all
killer.
Wrong.
Oh no,
wrong
she was crime. The Italian. She was the. That's right. She was the Italian. Kill the sex party guy. Right.
She did not.
She was acquitted. She was acquitted.
She was acquitted. Yes. The only thing.
That was a moment with Bean.
Bean will rarely go that long.
She was the kill the sex party guy. You changed her sex by the end of that sentence.
I was not in true command of those facts.
She went from a baby killer to a dude.
I feel like we have to take a break now because we have five more. I think we have to take a break and come back and see the other half of
it. I can't take 5 more.
I know. Like, how are we on the air employed getting paid by a major radio station in a big city? How?
Oh, we are doing the top 10 moments with 2012. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for tuning in here on a Tuesday. By the way, coming up at the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be telling you about a Hollywood celebrity who claims his celebrity girlfriend cheated on him with 20 different men.
At the same time?
Not at the same time.
Again,
no.
The same time?
How's that going?
So,
not good.
We're going to be discussing that and hearing your great stories of awful, whorish behavior coming up next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, we are recapping the top 10 moments with for 2012. This has been a lot of fun so far. We had two from me in the opening five. We had one from Lisa, one from Ralph, and one from Kevin. Well, now we're getting into the home stretch, guys. We're up to the top five mm-hmm. of the year.
This is the rare air here.
And I've had, yeah, you gotta be great to make the top five in the moments with on this show. And I'm happy to say that Kevin actually is in the top five. He's at number five.
I made it.
Kevin actually appears at number five. This is a piece of an interview we were doing with the director of that movie about the SEAL Team 6 taking out Osama bin Laden. And Kevin had a little bit of trouble keeping some of the facts straight.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
That's the code of silence that SEAL Team 6 has. They will never. The light of that will never come to, you know, to daylight.
That was a moment with Kevin.
The light of that will never come to daylight. Really.
That's accurate.
Hard to argue. Yeah. Kevin's
the best. That is actually true. Yeah.
That's truth. That's science.
As we move on, Kevin does appear again in the top
five. Oh, yes. Oh,
good. He is actually at number four. And this is one of the great moments with, because this happens to all of us. It's a common expression that you know as well as you know your own name. But for some reason, you just can't get the words to come out right.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
By the way, just for the movie theaters, there's not one size that fits all.
Yeah.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Lisa's like, one size.
Just not engaged,
just
Lisa.
Just effing get it
what
out.
Are the rules?
I think that was the last time I ever did it.
Wow.
Everybody did yell at you for that.
Wow. Yeah.
You're supposed to let me just twist in the wind. That's right? What you're supposed
to do. Yeah, when someone is drowning, you do not throw them a floaty, okay? That's the rule on this show, Lisa. Come on. So one size fits all there, number four. So that's number five. Number four is Kevin. Oh, number three is also Kevin.
What?
I didn't realize number three was Kevin here.
That's
in the moments with us. Yeah. And this is a case of, this isn't Kevin not being able to come up with the words or getting confused. This is just Kevin, check it out. He's listening to Big Boy in his headphones or something. He has no idea what's being said on his own show. Here we go at number three.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
By the way, nothing good has ever happened at 4:30 in the morning.
But a lot of good has.
Just not. I mean, a lot of good happens.
It just happened. I'm saying a lot of good happens at 4:30 in the morning. It's just this
he's
is.
Saying nothing
but you're responding.
You said nothing.
You
good.
Said that right. To his statement that said, nothing good.
That was a moment with Kevin.
I try not to listen to Ralph.
Wow.
As a general rule.
But at least you came back immediately and just.
That's yeah, I wouldn't let that one go. I was a dog with a bone, wasn't I?
You were eager to jump in. For a guy who wasn't listening, you sure were involved in the conversation.
You had no idea what was being said there.
All right, I think that's been established.
Number two is Kevin.
Oh, actually, great.
Yeah, number five and then four and then three. Now number two is actually Kevin with the moments with. We had Uriah Faber on here, UFC fighter, and we were talking. Well, I'm not sure what we were talking about. I think Kevin's asking a question.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Have you talked to other coaches, or other previous coaches, about what to expect or what the guys, come into their mentally, what they're like, or any of that kind of stuff? Tips?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Needed that clarification.
Sure.
I think it made
guys
it all good by,
in,
by
know,
saying tips.
Mentally. They come in, and with all the other ones, and the guys, and the coaches, tips.
Does anyone remember, was there an answer to that? Did
there
you just
no
ignore
question.
The question?
How could there be an answer?
He was very, very nice and answered it. I do remember that, because I made a fool out of myself, and I thought, thank God he's being so nice and just answering, instead of pointing out what an idiot I am.
Top 10 moments with the Kevin Bean Show for 2012. Let me see. Number one.
Number one. Who's the number one this year?
Any guesses? Anyone want to take a guess? Number one is?
Is it Dave the King of Mexico?
Oh, I'm sorry. No? Actually, good guess.
Beer Mug. Is it Beer Mug? Is it Beer Mug?
No.
Is it Lisa?
Because I was one time.
Is it Ralph? Yeah.
Ralph didn't
Bean,
make the
it
top.
You?
Is
it you? Bean?
You know what? Not this year. Not this year. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Kevin was what? Not only one of the best moments with of 2012, but maybe in the history of broadcasting. Won't you please enjoy it?
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
What's 1207 in military time, my friend?
Say it,
1709? Huh?
1709?
What? Hold on.
What,
Lisa?
What?
I don't know.
I was thinking 22.
But I'm
but that wouldn't be 17 either, would it?
Why would we jump ahead 2 minutes? Why would it become 09 all of a sudden?
I don't know.
That was a moment with Kevin.
All right, let's try to figure out how.
Just because you guys don't understand the way things work.
So, Ralph, the story, if you recall, was 1207. You were talking about when the Adele James Bond theme was being released to iTunes. It was being released at 007. That was the time on the clock, okay? So you asked 1207, military time, looking for 007 as the answer. Let's throw it to Kevin and find out, how did you come up with 1209, or 1709, rather?
Sure don't know. Sure don't know.
1709.
Sure couldn't put my finger on that one.
Wow.
I know that that's the first one that you you SoundClouded, Bean, and it was going around the internet like crazy because everybody was trying to figure out what the hell happened to me.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
What's 1207 in military time, my friend?
Say
1709? Huh?
1709?
What? Hold on.
What, Lisa?
I don't know. I was thinking 22.
But I'm
but that wouldn't be 17 either, would it?
Why would we jump ahead 2 minutes? Why would it become 09 all of a sudden?
I don't know.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Ralph is pretty unflappable when it comes to being on the air. Every once in a while, he'll just lose it and not be able to continue.
Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is your top 10 moments with USA, for 2012. Well done.
USA! USA! USA!
There's a dude in the studio without a leg.
Well, he's got a good story, though, Kevin.
There you go.
What do Let's not be rude to our guest.
What do I do?
Shark Week begins this Sunday night at 9 on Discovery. What? What? I'm trying to intro the thing with the deal with the guy.
Dude has no leg.
I understand that. Shark Week begins on the Discovery Channel. It's back for yet another year. This Sunday night on Discovery, Mike Kutz is in our studio. He will be featured on the episode called Shark Fight that airs on Wednesday. Mike, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I apologize worried in advance for my coworkers. They are
no
asses.
Worries.
Mike is Hawaiian, though, native born and bred, so he's very chill. He's impossible to offend. He just everything just rolls off of Mike, so we're going to be fine.
I think. Keep it coming.
I didn't notice. I saw some of the episode. I didn't notice. You're the most laid-back guy that I've ever seen attacked by a shark.
Like, why haven't you? Why? Like, I would still be screaming from
it.
And you've moved on, it seems like, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, tell us about what was happening. You were surfing with a buddy, and
how long ago? First of all,
it was in '97 off the island of Kauai.
All right,
beautiful morning, surfing with some friends. We paddled out about 7 a.m. Nothing out of the ordinary, just real blue, gorgeous morning. Another day in Hawaii, and saw a really nice wave coming. And I had been laying there for a little while, you know, waiting for a good set. And as soon as I saw a nice one, I went to go for a paddle, and as soon as I made that first initial paddling movement, a tiger shark came vertically and grabbed onto me. It wasn't...
So you didn't see it coming.
Yeah, it wasn't
you
like in Jaws where you see the fin from far and the music cues. It was just total blindsided attack and grabbed onto me.
How long did it take you to realize what was happening?
Instantly. It
was, you knew,
yeah, it came right up and it was right in my basically in my lap.
So
and I'm
it.
Looking right at it, yeah.
And, I mean, how, had that happened a lot in that area?
No, it's a pretty rare thing.
I was going to ask
if
it was normal
for
those kind of sharks. What kind of shark was it?
Tiger shark.
Okay.
Correct. And how big are they, Mike?
They get as big as great whites, believe it or not.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
The one that bit me was 12 to 15 feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude.
So it's got your leg in its mouth.
Yep.
That's bad.
Yep, that's bad. And it started shaking back and forth pretty violently. I remember just going, like, swaying left and right. And as soon as it stopped doing the shaking thing,
Is that its natural way to tear it off?
I think so. Just like a dog with some meat.
Right. Were you
exact
hanging
same
onto
thing.
The board?
I was just hanging onto the shark, basically. The thing was, you know, it had me both legs.
Both legs?
Mouth, both legs, yes.
Wow.
And I punched it. As soon as it stopped shaking, and just out of instinct, didn't know what else to do, but punch it. Yeah.
And it worked?
And it worked. Second punch, let go instantly, and disappeared.
Sharks are such pussies. You just punch them once, and they just swim away.
But now
they're
you can
mean.
Bleed to death.
Yeah, so I got back on my board. I looked at my index finger, and it was split open like a potato. I could see the bone, and I started freaking out. I had no idea about my leg. I was just like, oh, this is not good. I better
you
go
didn't
in.
Feel the
I didn't feel a thing. I just I felt pressure, but I didn't feel any pain whatsoever.
Okay.
No pain at all. And there was a guy next to me that watched the whole thing, and I looked at him, and his eyes were just out of his head.
Right.
Completely freaked out. And
you're like, dude, it's just a finger.
And I yelled shark, probably the most obvious thing you could possibly say.
I'm a little late.
A little late.
After
sure he watched it.
Yeah, so I yelled shark.
Thanks for the heads up.
And he took off, and he started just swimming to the beach, and I paddled behind him. And as I was paddling, my right leg started doing this weird spasm, like a vibrating kind of thing. And I was thinking, I'm going to look over my shoulder and see the shark attacking me again.
You thought you were being attacked again.
Yeah, because there was this weird shaking, and I looked over my shoulder, and my leg was just completely gone. I had no idea that it had come off.
That's so weird.
Perfectly amputated. Absolutely perfect amputation, and could see the blood squirting out the middle, you know, every time my heart was beating.
Oh,
and
my God.
How far down on your leg, Mike?
Little above the ankle. About halfway down my shin.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow, yeah. That could have been a lot worse,
yeah,
right?
It could have been my knee, but wow. Yeah.
Now, I'm fascinated by the you didn't know that you'd lost a foot to a shark, because what have you learned since then in recounting your story to doctors and stuff? Is it a shock thing, an adrenaline thing? How did you not feel? Why was it not the most painful experience of your life?
I think because the nerve, everything is just so severed that your body, it's your own body's defense mechanism to not freak out when something that traumatic happens.
I would start crying like a girl.
But I mean, screaming. At that point, aren't you still worried about bleeding out?
Yeah, so
How long did it take you to get into shore?
Luckily, right after I saw my leg, a little baby wave came. I caught it and rode it right up to the sand. And some of my friends...
Did you stand on it?
I did, actually.
I was just joking.
No, but as humans, we're used to standing up. So I went to go stand up, you know, try and stand up, get out of the water. And without a foot, obviously, I fell over and I'm covered in blood and now covered in sand and blood.
Wow.
And
all right, we have to pause the story right there.
No, we have to take a break.
What happens when he gets back to the
That's
sand?
That's what we're going to talk about
when
we
get
back.
But the man is dying.
Mike Kutz is here. His episode, Shark Week starts on Sunday. Your episode is on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
And it's called Shark Fight. And we'll be right back on the World Famous. Let me just tell you a quick story during the song. Beer Mug had to engage our guest with a story.
Who do you think that story was about?
And it went like this. The only time I've ever had anything happen to me like that is I'd cut my toe on a bottle.
Beer Mug
is telling a guy whose leg got bitten off by a shark and a fascinating story about cutting his toe on a bottle.
Why would Beer Mug try to compete with Mike's story?
I don't
Seriously.
Know.
Just let Mike have this one, okay? He wins. Mike Kutz in studio with us here at the world famous K-Rock on the Kevin DeBean Show. He is part of the stories unfolding this year on Shark Week, beginning Sunday night at 9 on Discovery. Mike's episode airs Wednesday night. Now, when we had to take a break, because Kevin is a bad person, you found yourself surfing back to shore, actually trying to stand up even though you had a foot missing. And now I imagine is when things get serious. The tiger shark has already taken your foot above the ankle. You're kind of in shock a little bit, but now and very soon in your story, it has to start hurting like a mother effer, right?
Yeah, so I got to shore as quick as I could, and my friends all ran up to me and dragged me up a little higher up on the sand, and had the decency to put a tourniquet around my leg. They used my surfing leash to stem the bleeding, which I actually found out later saved my life with the blood loss I had.
Saved your life.
Saved my life, yeah.
And I thought you were going to say saved your leg.
Yeah, no. Part of it that would have been nice, but no.
I mean the part of it that you still had.
Yeah, yeah.
But, wow, your life. That's scary.
And a pickup truck ran 4x4 on the sand, grabbed me. They threw me in the back of the truck, and we...
When did it start hurting like hell?
Not until after... waking up and after surgery in
Is
the
that
hospital.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow. You were in shock the
whole time.
Why didn't you pass out, Mike? I would think that would be your body's reaction.
On the ride to the hospital, I was laying by myself in the bed of the truck, and I remember getting really hot and really cold.
Uh-huh.
And there was a surfboard next to me that had a cloth board bag, and I was looking at the fibers of the cloth, just kind of playing with it, keeping my mind off the injury, and I just remember this crazy feeling of, you know, from 1 second freezing, feeling like I'm, you know, in Alaska or whatever, and then I'm in the desert 5 seconds later, sweating to death.
That's weird.
Yeah, crazy.
Your body just didn't know what to do with all that going on. So you get to the hospital, they take you into the emergency room, and what they're really trying to do is just close the wound.
Close the wound.
Stop bleeding.
Yeah, shark's teeth have a lot of bacteria, pretty dirty, so they... amputated up a little bit higher to make sure that I wouldn't get any infections and to, you know, assure a good fit for my prosthetic. There's like an optimal residual limb size, so they wanted to make a good fit. So they did some little surgery on that and woke up from the surgery. And
that's when you felt the pain.
And that's when I felt the pain, phantom pain. Yeah.
How long were you in the hospital?
I was in the hospital for a little over a week and then bedridden for about a month.
Now, you said phantom pain, so it didn't hurt where the cut was.
No.
It hurt lower?
It hurts where your brain thinks your foot still is. Your brain goes through probably every possible feeling of Like, it felt like blood was rushing through my toes. It felt like somebody was taking a knife to my toes. It felt like it goes through every possible feeling you can have to try and figure out what's wrong with your body and what's missing. And
it can't get.
Yeah, it's the nerves trying to figure, you know, sending off signals, and there's no return signal. So it's freaking out.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
And that can go on for years.
Yeah. I had it for about 6 months pretty bad.
Wow.
So how long before you're able to go through the process to start getting a prosthetic leg or foot, I should say?
There's a lot of swelling afterwards, and you have to wait for the swelling to go down. So it was about 4 months, I believe, until I got fitted for
and
my prosthetic.
Were you thinking all that time about your life and how it would affect you?
I thought I was going to die. I thought I was on my deathbed to the hospital. So I was waking up in the hospital. I was pretty
good
stoked
news.
To say the
pretty
least.
Happy
that I was
that you're still alive.
But I was still alive, and yeah. So
what kind of work were you doing at the time of the injury, Mike?
I was trying to be a professional bodyboarder, boogie boarder.
Okay.
And, so I had hopes of, you know, making.
So did
a
that did
the
that
ocean.
Dash those dreams?
Yeah, it did dash those dreams for sure. Obviously, yeah.
But I say that, but you've managed to still figure out a way to make a living in the water, right? Aren't you working as a photographer now?
Yeah. A lot of my friends are pro surfers, and being out of the water for a while, they're like, well, do something here. Here's a camera. Shoot us surfing, and kind of grew from there.
Well,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Was there ever, I mean, this is maybe a stupid question for a native-born Hawaiian, but was there ever a question of whether you were going to go back into the ocean?
No. For myself, the hardest part of rehabilitation was not being in the water.
Of course.
Yeah, because that's all I knew, and that's all there is to really do in Hawaii is be in the water.
Yeah. Yeah. There are people who won't go into the water, Mike, because they've seen Shark Week on the Discovery Channel. That's enough to keep them out of the water. You've actually been bitten by a shark, and it won't keep you out of the water.
Yeah. But does it keep you from watching Shark Week?
No. I love Shark Week. I'm fascinated. Yeah.
Tell us what you're doing now. As far as preservation, because this is an amazing turn.
Yeah, I got contacted a few years ago by the Pew Environment Group, and they wanted to know if I was interested in doing some conservation work. And I had no idea at that time of what was going on with shark finning, where they cut the fin off of a shark and dump the body as it's still alive overboard. And it swims, you know, for a day or two until it can't swim anymore and dies. And it's all for a soup in Asia. 70 million sharks a year are killed. 70 million. When I heard that number, I was baffled. I thought there was a couple extra zeros.
70 million are killed per year.
Per year.
Wow. And did you say if that continues?
Continues at the rate it is, the oceans will be depleted of sharks very soon.
And tell me, and this is not a wise-ass question, an honest question is, why is that a bad thing? What do sharks contribute that is so positive that we want to make sure to keep a healthy supply in the oceans?
Sharks are at the very top of the food chain. They're an apex predator, so they hold everything below them in check. Without sharks, things will start to crumble below them all the way down to microscopic levels, and the reef systems and salinity and water, every possible aspect of the ocean will be affected with the removal of sharks.
Oh, my God.
So you're now going in front of Congress and meeting with people and telling them that you need to protect sharks.
Yeah.
Are you hoping to find your foot again?
No, but...
have you given up on that?
I've given up on that.
But that's admirable, I mean, that you're doing that. That's crazy.
Yeah. I just, you know, feel in a position to turn a liability into an asset, and it's working.
How difficult is it to live with a prosthetic foot? Is it comfortable, or is it a pain in the ass?
Early on, it was a bit uncomfortable. I've gotten pretty used to it. I can do basically anything any able-bodied person could, except for...
Can you surf now?
I can. I surf every day.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Nice.
Yeah.
When you see that guy from South Africa running in the Olympics both of his legs, I guess, but I mean, he was born
incredible.
With it. I mean, that just must blow your mind when you see him run that fast.
Yeah,
right?
I wish they could develop a leg like that for surfing.
A surf leg.
Yeah. No, that's amazing.
I mean, you're so lucky to be alive. Obviously, you know that. And I really do think being a chill Hawaiian kind of kept this thing from getting out of control. I think you kind of just are one of those dudes who takes it as it comes to you, right?
Oh, well,
sounds
thanks.
Like you're just chill.
Yeah, thank you.
I think being chill prevented you from freaking out, probably.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
It's an amazing story, and I'm so glad that you're here to tell it. You can see Mike's story on Wednesday as part of Shark Week on the Discovery Channel, which begins this Sunday. Continued success with all the work that you're doing, and get out there in the water and have fun, man. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Here's a huge surprise news story that came out yesterday, at least to me. If you're a huge Against Me fan, now that's a band that we've played here on K-Rock on and off over the years. They're a punk band out of Florida. What's that song, Beer Mug, that we were talking about that we like so
it's
much?
It's called
that we...
Thrash Unreal.
Let's hear a little bit of that, and then I'll tell you what's going on with Against Me. Really good band.
If she wants to dance and drink all night, well, there's no one that can stop her.
It sounds like a pretty solid dude, right?
Yeah.
He's a great singer, too. Great performer, great singer. Against Me singer is, his name is Tom Gabel, and he did an interview yesterday with Rolling Stone where he revealed that he plans to begin living as a woman. He has dealt privately with gender dysphoria for years. He will soon begin the process of transition by taking hormones and undergoing electrolysis treatments. This man that we are now listening to, by the way, like thousands of others around the world, it happened every year. I mean, a transgender surgery and a realization from somebody that, hey, I'm in the wrong sex body, that's not unusual. This is a, you know, pretty well-known person with a pretty popular band, and that's what has kind of made it newsworthy.
He sounds like more dude than most dudes.
Will he still sound like that dude?
Well, I doubt it.
No. His hormones are going to change his voice.
Yes, that's what there are several interesting things about this. One of which is, how does this conversation go with your bandmates? Hey guys, in about a year you're going to have a woman lead singer for your band.
Right. Cuz I think if I were to bring that up in the office, here at the radio station, no one would believe me, no matter how many times I said it.
No.
Guys, I'm serious. Ha ha! No, I'm really serious. There's no way you'd believe it.
But wouldn't you imagine, though, that these guys have been in a band together for 10 years or whatever it's been, that they would know him well enough to know that he had been going through some stuff?
I hope so.
I doubt very seriously that this is the first time they ever heard about his desire or his feeling that he was born as a woman and is in the wrong body.
He's going to eventually take the name Laura Jane Grace and will remain married to his wife.
Now, what about that? Let's talk about how bizarre that is.
I have heard stories like that before.
Are they allowed to do that if they're already married with the gay laws? I guess so, right? Against gay marriage?
Well, they're not.
They're not getting married. They've been married.
Oh, that's an interesting question too, Kevin. And if you're in a state where gay marriage is illegal, what happens if one member of the couple changes sex and now it's a same-sex marriage? I don't know. Now, Heather, I'm sure, and I'm with Lisa, I've seen this aspect of this story before, is going to say, I'm in love with this person. This person is my soulmate. This is the person that I, you know, the person doesn't change. It's only their bits that change. To which you also have to go, well, what about that? You know, what about that deal?
What about those bits?
What about that deal?
What about dressing rooms? They're going to need a whole nother dressing room so the guys can't see her bits.
That's true.
You know?
Gable only told a handful of family and friends about the plans to transition before this interview in Rolling Stone magazine. Because this is the first time a major rock star has come out as transgender, the singer has made a point of speaking openly about it. I'm going to have embarrassing moments, and that won't be fun, but that's part of what talking to you, Rolling Stone, is about, is hoping people will understand and hoping they'll be fairly kind. This you can find more about this interview. It's in the Rolling Stone issue that comes out this Friday, May 11th. He also says that he had a long history of gender dysphoria and goes
What's
into more details.
What's gender dysphoria? Just you think you're in the wrong sex?
Exactly.
You're the wrong sex? Okay.
And we'll also talk about the specifics of the transition process and what becoming Laura Jane Grace will mean for the future of the band Against Me. So that is a little bit of a surprise. I mean, maybe this, you know, maybe this is something Against Me fans have known about. I have not maybe been paying close enough attention, but
it's
going to be a big change.
Can you imagine being in the band even? Just that meeting.
All right, everybody, we got to get together and meet. He's going to be a girl. What do we do?
Of course, once you have something going,
that's
like
relatively successful. Yes,
you'd like to keep it going. Yeah, I mean, you don't really want to. But wow.
I mean, there was a very, very popular musician named Walter Carlos who did kind of synthesizer music. Sold millions of records, had a big hit album in the late 60s called Switched on Bach that was maybe even a number one album. And he decided exactly the same thing as Against Me singer. He said, not for me. And he changed his sex and changed his name and went on to continue to have a successful career as Wendy Carlos. Now as Wendy Carlos has been scoring movies and everything else for the last 30 years or so. But that was a solo act. That was somebody, you know, that wasn't the same as being the lead singer of a punk band.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it was a different environment for him to do that. Now her. So I don't know what it's going to be like for the band. I don't know what it's going to be like for Heather. If we check back in with Heather in 5 years, hey, how's it been married to a woman after growing up being heterosexual your whole life and marrying a man? What's that going to be like?
It does seem like the stories that I've heard about that, they did stay together for maybe 5 years, 6 years, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. eventually kind
and
of
just fell apart?
Yeah. Right, I mean, exactly. Yeah, and not angry at each other, but it just, they wanted different things.
Yeah, listen, guys, I'm going to be a woman, so we're going to have to work that out.
It would be so awesome, Kevin, if you came to this same conclusion. It would be so great. And Lisa would have another girlfriend in the studio.
I know.
It'd be great, for her.
A comrade, finally.
Finally.
We could cycle.
Wow.
We could change the name of the show back to Mark and Kim like it was in the beginning.
I've never really considered it. I mean, maybe it's something I should.
Well, I say look into it. That's what I say.
All right.
Anyway, that is the story. If you want to check out more, go to Rolling Stone's website, and I'm sure we'll continue to follow this for you at krock.com as well. Comedian Liz Winstead on the program later on today also will update you on Sam the Armenian Comedian, his appearance at the Marie Callender's in Glendale over the weekend. Imagine how shocked you'd be if you were there with your family having a dinner.
Wouldn't you demand your money back?
I would. I would think so. I would certainly lose my appetite. Also, Bill Simmons from ESPN and Grantland.com talking about the NBA and the new 30 for 30 doc series. First, though, Kevin, what's the update on China?
Well, this is really a bizarre story. They were doing the 2012 Exotica Porn Expo. And 3 days in a row, she was at an event and was taken to the hospital because she passed out.
Oh, my God.
China used to be in the WWE.
Yes.
She was a diva, right? And then that ended, and she's a big giant woman. That ended, and she became a porn star. And has she continued to do that? She's sticking with that?
I think so, yeah.
And you pass out 3 days in a row, and you're either at Coachella or you've got some other sort of problem happening.
Thursday she passed out in a swimming pool, and then Friday she passed out at a park. I mean, it's ridiculously crazy. So we thought we would check in with China and find out what exactly is going on with her. Hey, China.
Hi, how are you?
Well, we're good. How are you?
I'm great. Hi.
Look, 3 days in a row indicates that you have a health problem.
No, it's not like that at all.
What's it like?
No, I mixed some cold medicine with some wine.
Okay, but when you do that the first day and you pass out, don't you make a mental note?
Yeah, I did.
Uh-huh.
I said, don't pass out again.
Mm-hmm, right.
To myself mentally.
Right.
Well, what do you think is going on here? I mean, will you admit to any more than that? Is there any kind of drinking or drug use
happening? How dare you?
Oh, no?
How dare you? I work very hard with Dr. Drew and my sobriety.
It's
as you know, Dr. Drew has a 100% success rate.
Well, it's not 100%.
It is. It's 100%.
Hello? China? What happened?
Oh.
China.
I'm sorry. I must have nodded off there for a second.
Did you just pass out?
No, I didn't.
It sounded like you did.
I'm sober. I'm not doing any drugs or anything. And anybody who says otherwise, I'll just...
China?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, wow. China. Who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean. We were having a conversation with you.
Oh, hi, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. You passed out again. Do you remember that you just didn't. Is it really like a blackout?
I play She-Hulk in the new Vivid Entertainment parody of the Avengers. It's a porn parody.
Right, you're She-Hulk.
Yeah, I'm She-Hulk.
Okay.
And I...
This is terrible.
What?
Hi. Who's this?
China. It's Kevin.
It's China. Hi, China.
No, you're China. It's
what?
Kevin. It's Kevin and Bean. We're trying to talk to you about this passing out problem.
I know. Can you believe I passed out a couple of times, but I'm fine now.
Well, you passed out 3 times on this phone conversation.
Oh, that's Hello?
Hi.
Who's this?
It's still Kevin and Bean.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, who's this? Hello?
That's a problem.
I'm like...
What's happening?
I think I should go lay down or something.
She's not even getting words out now.
That's gonna leave a mark.
Where all these bruises come from?
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Tuesday morning. We're going to talk to Tim Goodman in 1 minute. He's the chief TV critic of The Hollywood Reporter. He, Kevin, has a complaint about our girlfriend, Honey Boo Boo Child.
I'm Alana. I'm 6, and I'm a beauty queen. Brothers must be crazy if they think they're going to be me, Honey Boo Boo Child. I'm super solid because I do pageants. I want to win money. A dollar makes me holla, Honey Boo Boo.
Tim writes to The Hollywood Reporter, among the many crimes against humanity that TLC, this country's most socially irresponsible channel, has inflicted upon its viewers, perhaps Toddlers and Tiaras is the worst, well, until the breakout star of that show. And then he goes on to talk about Honey Boo Boo. He's calling TLC irresponsible. That's the Freak Show Network, Tim. We wouldn't have a radio show if we didn't have TLC to make fun of every week. Come on. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I wouldn't actually have a whole lot of targets if I didn't have TLC as well.
Most,
you know, I get it.
Most socially unacceptable. That's ridiculous.
I said irresponsible. Actually, it's unacceptable at some point. I mean, it's unacceptable at the Honey Boo Boo stage.
All right, you're fine with this guy, though.
My scrotum is about 160 pounds and growing.
You're fine with that guy, right?
The man
with the world's largest scrotum on Strange Sex. Remember him on TLC?
Yeah. You know what? I'm fine if they're not six years old and don't know what the heck they're doing.
Oh, okay. So it's just Honey Boo Boo that you don't like.
Well, I mean, look.
Because you took a pretty big swipe at TLC, our favorite channel.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's my favorite channel to knock. I mean, they make their money off of basically freak shows.
Freak
I get
shows,
that.
Yes.
I get that. Yeah, I get that.
That's why we like it.
Right. And for most of the time, that falls into the realm of my whole, you know, vote with your remote. I don't want to watch it. You know, sometimes if you watch it and you can, like, just, you know, have stuff come out your nose, you're laughing so hard. I get that. But I draw the line at Honey Boo Boo Child.
We're going to talk about Honey Boo Boo in a moment. I have to ask, though, because tonight is the premiere of their new series, which I think is called One Body, Two Heads, that show about the conjoined girls. You going to be watching that one, Tim?
No.
Come on, listen to this.
Hello.
I'm Abby.
I'm Brittany.
I control the right side,
and I control the left side.
You're conjoined.
No. You're not. Watch that. They have one body and two heads.
No, it's just soul crushing. That's what it is.
You are an evil bastard. What about the man with the 100-pound growth on his face? Remember that guy?
He's not the same guy.
All right, let's talk about. I didn't watch Toddlers and Tiaras. What about the woman who likes pee?
I like warm pee. It's comforting.
All right, thank you. I only saw a little bit of Toddlers and Tiaras, but I must confess that I was intrigued enough to tune into Honey Boo Boo. And now, honestly, Tim, I've seen every episode, and I think I'm a little bit fascinated with this family. What's your problem? What's the primary complaint you have you spell out in your article in The Reporter?
Well, it's exploitation. I mean, she's 6 years old. She doesn't know what she's doing. Her mom's got her, you know, coked up on Mountain Dew and the Red Bull. It's just like... you know, my problem isn't with the family so much. I mean, they're happy calling themselves rednecks and all that stuff, whatever. But my issue is with TLC knowingly sort of exploiting the fact that she's 6 years old, her mom's uneducated, the whole family's uneducated, and they're all overweight, one of them's pregnant. I mean, they're such a cliche. It's ridiculous, but when it comes to Alana, I mean, she doesn't know what she's doing, and she's being exploited not only by her mom, which in some way you could probably say, hey, they need the money, give it to them. Like they're just, you know,
she's going to be exploited by her mom either way. I'd like to watch.
Well, that's a decision we all have to make.
Does that make me bad?
No, you know, I'm just saying everybody's got to draw the line somewhere. I am totally with you on the other shows. I get it.
Are you with me?
I think those people make their own decisions. I don't think Honey Boo Boo's making her own decisions.
Are you with me on My Strange Addiction? I love my car.
Nathaniel is in a committed relationship with a car.
You're with me on that, right?
Absolutely. Okay. I'm right there.
All right, good. Tim, look, I agree. We've had a lot of discussion about this Honey Boo Boo show on the Kevin and Bean program because I'm very sensitive to people who automatically assume all people in the South, and this family lives down there in deep Georgia in a tiny little village of 700 people. I'm sensitive to people stereotyping in their minds that all those people are stupid and uneducated. This family happens to be stupid and uneducated, but that doesn't mean they don't exist. It doesn't mean they're not real. I mean, you don't have to extrapolate that all people in the South are like that. This just happens to be a television show about one family that is like that. Isn't that okay?
Yeah, the part that's okay is that it's, you know, they really, it is a cliche, and television goes in for the Southern cliche a little too often. This family is dumb and uneducated, and they have all the cliches for the South.
Even for the South, they're dumb and uneducated.
Yeah, they even embarrass the Deep South.
Yes. but I will tell you, and tell me if I'm overthinking this, I've been really impressed by this family in a number of ways. First of all, they seem very affectionate with one another. They seem like they have a great time together. They seem like they spend a lot of time together. They seem like they're very, very happy and well-adjusted. They don't have the best manners in the world. They're not the most educated people in the world. But they seem like they're living a happy family. Family life. That's not all bad.
No, it's not. And I agree with you on that one. And a lot of times what gets lost in the sort of conversation about whether this is exploitation and who's being exploited, etc., is that they are a loving family in their own way. You know, it's not how I would raise a family. You know, I would wash their necks. I wouldn't let them get that fat. I wouldn't let them get pregnant at 15. But
sure, there's those things.
You know, but what I think is sort of the evil part about it is the knowingness of, look, the opening credits, Mama farts, right? And then laughs about it. They definitely show 10 times all the crust in her neck fat.
Ew. Yeah, yeah, they did do that.
Really did.
You know,
do that.
and then she blows her nose on camera with a hand towel. It's so much snot coming out of her nose.
And how are you complaining about this?
Because I think
because
what TLC is doing is they're winking at us, right? They're saying, you know what? Look at these Southern hicks. Let's laugh at this fat family.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That's where I think they're wrong.
Oh, I understand everything you've written, and I don't disagree with much of it, except for the fact that now, as of tonight, at least you can look at Honey Boo Boo's family and go, they only have one head per body. I mean, at this point, they're not even the craziest thing on the network anymore, right?
That's true. That is true.
The article is called Honey Boo Boo, That Joke Isn't Funny Anymore, and you can see it on the Hollywood Reporter website at hollywoodreporter.com. The chief TV critic of the Hollywood Reporter is Tim Goodman. Glad we had you on. I know you're going to be watching the new Honey Boo Boo tomorrow night, Tim. Thanks for the time, man.
All right, guys.
Thank you. Bye.